Welcome to Muse on Minis, a special bonusode where tonight we're going to talk about something that is long overdue. We're going to talk about trolls. My name is Seabass, and I play trolls. And go ahead and introduce yourselves, guys.
Yeah, I'll go last. I'm like the least of the troll players here.
Chris Dancox here. I also play trolls.
John Henry here from Ontario, and I play trolls.
And then Nigel, I play trolls.
Oh, it's so wonderful.
We Who would have thought?
So before we get started, I did want to say it's a really big honor to have you guys take time out of your lives to join the podcast. And then I also wanted to say a huge shout out to the Troll Bloods community. You guys have just been asking for this episode, and I'm extremely pleased to be able to get together with not only Nigel, but also, you know, some very prominent and positive figures in the Troll Blood community to kind of sit down and just talk about where the faction is right now and where we're going and some of the things we think are going to be really sweet going forward. So I don't want to necessarily go into me a whole lot because listeners already pretty much know who Seabass is and all the craziness and kookiness that comes with me. But Chris and John, if you guys kind of want to take just a couple of minutes to kind of introduce yourselves as to who you are and where you're at with the faction, then please do.
All right, Chris.
John, take it away. Oh, see, we're just too Canadian here. Oh, no, you go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, you.
I know, with both of you guys on and then with me, it's like a nice off, right? It's like a constant, like, who's going to be nicer all the time?
So Chris Dancox, here, like I said, I'm Canadian, Western Canada, from Alberta, played on the WTC team for, this year, repped trolls there, not to a spectacular record myself, but, showed up and played the games, which was good. And you may have also, last year I played at Adepticon and was in, top four for, champions and or IG, I guess, and top eight for masters. So it was a good showing for trolls earlier in the year, at least. But that's my kind of snapshot. John, what about you?
I'm fairly new to the game. I've been playing for about 2 years now. I've been playing trolls the whole time. I'm from Eastern Canada, Ontario. I played at the Sioux for the past 2 years, came second IG 2 years ago, and came fourth at the masters this year with playing trolls.
Nice. So, John, if I remember correctly, you're in Tim Behnke's meta, right?
I am in Tim Behnke's meta. I am on Arcane Assist as well, Battle Reports. And, yeah, my meta is a Shark Tank. Bubba, Chris Orr, you know, Dave, Josh Bates. Yeah, they're all around here.
And a lot of sweet
those guys. Come on.
It's good practice, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
All right, Nigel, do you want to talk about what's kind of drawn you back into trolls? Because, I mean, the Nigel Brooks we all know and love is Kator through and through. So
yeah,
has it just been my sheer magnetism that has brought you to the faction, my friend?
No, just the models. I played trolls or my hordes faction back in Mark 1, and I kind of got out of them after just in all the edition changes. I've sort of like gotten away from just playing hordes at all. But the troll models are gorgeous, and they continue to kind of be more and more gorgeous when they get new stuff. And I don't really find that to be the case with, like, Kator as much. So I've been attracted to the new models, and then the new... I think they're just... They're getting really interesting. Like, when I make lists with them right now, the catalog seems really a lot more wide open than I think it's ever really been. It's been really attractive, just sort of, at least in the Theory Machine Dojo, putting together things.
Well, and that's a really great segue because that I think actually trolls are in a really interesting position. I think there's a lot of undiscovered territory in trolls. Every time I look at a warlock or I look at a caster, I look at the themes, and I'm always struggling to kind of figure out where I really want to be because there's just so many options. Chris and John, how do you guys feel about whether or not trolls is solved right now? Like, do you feel like there's a lot of unexplored territory? Do you feel like maybe our path is pretty clear and we just need to keep chugging along, or?
Me personally, I think we could bring almost any caster in our faction right now and put it on the table and have a good list. The difference is when you go to a tournament, you need to find a pairing that covers both sides, that covers all your holes. I think there's a lot of unexplored territory and we need to still continue at it, and we still have new models coming out. So it's going to be a long haul for the next couple months.
Yeah, I think I'd echo those statements, John. I think you hit it the nail on the head. Every caster is certainly playable and can be competitive. The two that were definitely outside of that before were Madarak 1, and Borka 2. And, you know, with the buffs to them, they're right back up, if not at the top of the competitive scale for trolls. So, you know, that was nice to see. And now, like your point, you can show up to a tournament with any caster in our stable and do well, which is good. Covering all of the pairings is going to be a different question, and figuring that out moving forward is going to be an interesting journey with trolls. But, you know, we just got to keep discovering what works well together and what pairs well together.
Well, and like, that's actually a really, like, I love that thought process, because that's going to take us into like our first real discussion point of the evening, which is going to be, a lot of listeners, and a lot of people in the Facebook group chimed in, and they had a whole bunch of questions that were really centered around what is in our list pairings and why we're playing it. So let's talk a little bit about our list pairings. What we're playing them, what we think our problem matchups are, how we're answering those matchups, and a really interesting question. So we hear a lot in War Machine about how something is a question faction or an answer faction. Are we posing a question to our opponents to answer, and then maybe they can't answer it, and then they fail because of that, and they lose the game? Or are we trying to answer the questions that they're giving us? So I'll start with Chris, and then we'll go to John, and then Nigel, and then me, and then let's talk a little bit about what's in our list pairings and why we're playing it.
Sure. I'll start off with, I think we're not a question faction yet, where we still answer a lot more questions than we actually pose ourselves. That might be changing now with Madarak 1. He poses a pretty big question in himself. But I don't think it's necessarily outside of what people were usually bringing for trolls already. My pairing as it is right now, I just took to a steamroller last weekend, was a Doomshaper 3, just because I've been playing him so long, and it was a quick tweak to update the list for the CID, and then I took Madarak 1 and played them both each twice. Did fairly well, went 4-0, so that was all right. But they the pairing itself as a weakness that I didn't really think about, in that healing was a big issue for me. So things like Grievous Wounds, things like Entropic Force really hurt the pairing. So where I've been playing Doomshaper 3 for a long time, he might be coming out of the pair now for someone like Cold Grima. But yeah, still, like I said, lots more questions that can be answered by the faction than we actually ask ourselves. But maybe John has a different point of view.
I think we all can agree that Madarak 1's basically in our pairing right now. I hate to say it, but it is. But I mean, definitely for the last couple of weeks, I've been looking for someone to replace Madarak 1 to go in my pair, just because I think a lot of people would bring answers for them. And if I bring a list that's off of Madarak 1, they won't have an answer for it. So currently right now, I haven't been in any steamroller since his CID has dropped. Being a stay-at-home dad and getting to like one or two steamrollers a month is tough. I have a big World Ender event coming up in next weekend, where the Shark Tank will come out. So I'm pretty sure it'll be Madarak 1 and Cold Grima. The downside right now is I can't bring brawlers. I feel like Cold Grima needs brawlers. So my list pairing is like all over the place. I'm trying Yarrow and Storm of the North. I'm trying Grim 1, Grim 2. Like, it's all over. We definitely answer more questions, but we definitely present now as like almost a whole new faction. If we bring Madarak 1 and these casters people are not used to, like Borka 2, how do you play around Borka 2's feet? Like, do you do anything? Do you not do anything? So it's fun. I play a lot of games at home with my friends, and it's fun, the different lists I bring, and they're like, wow, okay, what do I do here? So I'm looking forward to the future of trolls.
All right, Nigel, what are your hot takes here, buddy?
Reentering back in, I sort of felt like they sort of asked, especially when you see, like, if Doomshaper 3 becomes unpopular or Cold Grima, I think they kind of ask and answer in equal measure compared to other factions. But again, it's like, you know, as a person who's had to fight against Doomshaper 3, it devolves pretty quick. You either can deal with his garbage, or you get run over. And it's a pretty tough question. Madarak 1 obviously asks it. Madarak 2, we kind of ask some questions. Like, they have the ability to kind of put that pressure on your opponent. But then they just answer questions. But they do it in kind of a practical way. I love the way they answer their questions. They don't do it. It's not really point click brain. Like, oh, well, the Creel Stone, depending on who you talk to, is semi brainless. But like, I still like the way you have to use it. It's not like an auto. It's not like the Covenant of Menoth, where it just like solves all the problems and just sits there and doesn't. You know, it's sort of. I don't know. There's some interesting gameplay with them that I am attracted to. As far as my pairing, I don't know. I obviously want to play Kalandra with Highwaymen and then a few other things. I kind of want to find an excuse to use. I'm trying to figure out I don't know if there's a tier list that works, but I want a Madrek 1 with Scouts and then Chroniclers. And then just a Grim 2, obviously. Like, I don't know. I kind of want to do all. I actually am not attracted to Doomer Shape 3 at all. And I might like Cold Grimma, but I have a Kalandra boner right now that I really want to like use. And then the fact that
she's younger.
Yeah, yeah. And then also that you can beat Befuddle Battle Engines is just super attractive to me. And especially if Battle Engines have become a big deal. Like, yeah, she's interesting.
So I can say for my list pairing right now, I have the Madrak 1 list on standby. I'm still pretty much centered in on Doomshaper 3 and Grim 2. I love Grim 2. It's my favorite warlock in the faction. So the one caveat I will add is that I'm a little concerned about the presence of express teams and then because of irregulars getting to take virtually any solo. Excuse me. I'm a little concerned about the resurgence of ranged Grievous Wounds, just like what Chris was talking about earlier. We're also seeing more models of Grievous Wounds starting to pop up just on melee attacks. Namely, because now that you can take Bone Grinders as an option, we're starting to see Bone Grinders show up a little bit. In my area, we're seeing Bone Grinders show up a little bit in like some circle lists. We're seeing the odd Scythian show up in Kallus II lists and things like that. And all of those can cause big problems for Doomshaper 3. So I'm willing to audible off to Cold Grimma or to Madrak 1. I just want to get in probably another 10 or 15 games before I can really solidify whether or not I feel like Cold Grimma is going to be that replacement for Doomshaper 3. As far as a question or answer faction, it's really, I agree with Nigel in the thought process that we really kind of do a little bit of both, right? Because it's hard to look at Doomshaper 3 with Mulg, Earthborn, a couple of Maulers, or two Earthborns and a Mauler and a Brawler or whatever. It's hard to look at that and say that you're not asking a question, because you're asking an amazing, can you kill my armor question. But by that same token, we're kind of playing that list as an answer to everybody else's Jack spam, and that's why that list became extremely popular. So it's really hard for me to say for sure if we are one or the other right now. So I think we're still probably a little bit more of an answer faction than we are a question faction. But we haven't seen what Cold Grimma is going to do to the meta. And we haven't seen what Madrak 1 is fully realized is going to do to the meta. It's amazing. We look at the just the feeds and the Facebook posts on how do you run Madrak 1. And then you have some people that are like all the way down the double, all the way down like the double champions style builds. And then Chris, your list that you posted up not too long ago was like, champions and then like double mid long riders, or was that
that's
John?
That's me, man. That's what
I got. Yeah, that must be John.
Yeah, that's my version 5 of this list. I've been playing it for a while. I played it before CID dropped, and I was like hoping it would stay the same. And I've been playing it nonstop. I have a pretty good friend who's Crix, who plays Crix and plays Ghostly and Danny, and I've dropped it into Ghostly a few times, into Scar a few times, into the Covenant a few times. And it poses an answer when you have like double mid and long riders on like the flanks, and that with a 2-inch reach now. It's pretty good. And you keep them all within Madrak's control range for the first two turns, and then you just like go ham. Yeah, it's a strong list. I would recommend trying it.
And then Chris, your list, what's your Madrak one looking like nowadays, if you don't mind sharing it?
I kind of went the opposite of John. I still have Madrak and the two champions, obviously. But then I have two units of Creel Warriors, currently one max and one min. And I usually just, you know, bubble around a flag or, you know, around a zone or something like that. And then see my opponent in four turns when I go to 5 points.
I like the cut of this jib.
Yeah. I haven't found anyone yet who's been able to kill 16 Kriel warriors with Death 14 and no knockdown. So
do you have like
when I find that off?
Do you have like the double Stone Scribe Chroniclers in there?
No Chroniclers. The solos I have are just a Fellcaller. I took Eilish in the list, and then it's just a Rune Bear and Scaldi are kind of the free guys. But then I have the only question I have on the list right now is I have sorcerers on both champion units, and I may drop them for I'll at least drop one of them to buff the stone back up to max because it's currently at min. But otherwise, yeah, haven't found anyone that can crack that nut yet.
We'll see. What are your beasts currently in that?
The beasts are a mauler and a bomber.
Oh, you went over beast points, eh?
Yeah, went a little bit over in beast points. I found Madrak really likes the far strike, and the bomber is just good to chuck a couple bombs every turn. The mauler sits far, far back. I think probably half the games I play with him, he doesn't actually even make it to combat. He just waits until something finally cracks through the champions and then cleans it up. But yeah.
I see. I run the bomber bouncer battle group.
Oh, nice.
Earth blessing and far strike and a shield guard.
Yeah, it seems pretty decent. Yeah, I think Madrax usually is so surrounded by stuff. He usually doesn't need the like the no stationary or anything like that from the Earth's Blessing. But
yeah, it's more of the shield guard, and like having a bouncer just like toe a zone with Earth Blessing on, it does not move. Like armor 21 light, defense 14, come at me.
Yeah. 22 boxes.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not going anywhere. He's there. It's but what's really interesting about all that though is like, and I can point to my Madrak 1 list right now, and it's completely different from what you guys are playing. So because I'm playing Madrak 1 with a Mountain King, Mountain King, Wrong Eye, and Snapjaw, double units of champs, and all the typical free stuff. And like I'm playing the Mountain King because I love Killshot. I'm playing the Mountain King because I wanted something that I could potentially take advantage of Jackhammer with. Mainly just so I can dig a little deeper. Like I can use Jackhammer to unjam the Mountain King and then send the Mountain King in a little bit further. So like, and I've just been tinkering with it. I don't think it's exceptionally good. Excuse me, but I don't think it's bad. I think it just needs to be worked out. But it's so interesting because you can take like, you could just look at like the way we're, and you know, look at Nigel's build with like Nitrals gathering people together, and you know, it's interesting because you can just, we have so many options that it feels like have opened up to us recently that we could sit here and spend 4 hours talking about how to build this one troll warlock, you know, like that's so amazing. And it shows in the attitude of the community, and it shows in the morale of the community. It really does. Yeah,
I've had so many Facebook posts and topics in almost all chats about Madrak 1, either how to beat it, how to counter it, how to play it, what's the best list. Like, it's just, it depends what you want to do with him. Like, do you want him to be your staple list and then your off list basically covers Madrak's weaknesses? Do you want him to be like your Crix drop? You can be that. People say you can't, but he can definitely be that.
Yeah, there's just so many options for him. And you know what though? Like, and while we're talking about individual models though, let's actually talk about the models themselves. So because we're talking about Madrak 1, what models do you think became like overnight heroes with all of the recent changes? And what models do you think are still probably going to need a little love to get the most out of them?
Okay, so sorry, I think we all can say we're talking about Madrak 1 lists. So let's say champions, they become like
absolutely champions,
zero to hero.
Absolutely. Like,
I guess we get a War Beast. I guess Mog. Like, Mog is really now who Mog should be. A threat on the board who's scary.
Worth every single one of those 22 points. That guy is amazing.
Hands down.
He's so worth it. But you know what, though? Like, because we can look at Mog and we can look at Champs, but do we feel like, because something that really shocked me is with all of the new Madrak 1 madness, I've actually seen Impalers show up from time to time again. So just even on the periphery, have Impalers gotten better? Are they better now because Madrak 1 is better? So do you guys think that there's any like hidden interactions and stuff like that that are going to start showing up that I think, you know, maybe troll players need to take a second look at to be like, hey, these are really good now? Because I could, as an example in my testing, like I think Kriel Warriors are probably really solid in Sons of the North. I actually think they're very good in Sons of the North, actually.
I love Kriel Warriors. I'm 100% on the Kriel boat. Like, I don't – for 11 points, I don't know what more you could ask for, especially in like a Madrak list or a Sons of the North, which is, or Storm of the North. Like, they can just be so efficient for the points that you're spending on them.
What I use them for is Borka 2 jamming unit with in Storm of the North. Like, they become speed, is it 7, 6? Speed 6 with the Elder. And they can basically jam on his feet turn. Like, what are they going to do? Kill this one wound box infantry and just get stationary?
Well, also, like, too, like, just having Kaber swinging at power strength 15, like, that's not okay. That's very funny. Like, it's great.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced as to whether or not Kabers are worth the 2 points that you have to spend on that. But
I tend to not take them.
Eventually, yeah. I haven't found. If there's a model that still needs a little bit of rework, it is the Kabers. But
yeah, I don't work them in any of my lists right now. The Kabers.
They're definitely expensive. They're, like, in my opinion, if you're going to play Kabers, you're playing them because you just want to play them. Because there are better uses for 6 points in a troll list. There's no doubt about that. But if you want to play them, like, they're fun to play, especially in Storm of the North. So, you know, and while we're talking about that, so when you guys go to build lists, like, when you guys are looking at, you know, like, your list pair or whatever, outside of champions, what are the models that you are instinctively just always reaching for when you're
Shell
building
color.
Lists?
Okay. Color. Plus two map, Pathfinder, has a spray. And it's just like an all-around solid support piece for 5 points. It's usually free.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it depends on which way I'm going with the list too, right? Like, if it's a Band of Heroes list, which I think we generally need, Fellcaller is definitely a good one to have. But other than that, I mean, obviously there's the staples that everyone knows about. Mauler is in there. The Stone, of course, right? Those ones that are just auto-include, which are unfortunate, but... Runebearer is always making it into my list. He's basically an auto include these days, especially when he's free. Right? I haven't found a list without him in a while.
He's like a squire now, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that sorcerers? You put a lot more sorcerers in your list nowadays for magical weapons.
I think I would if I was playing more Storm of the North lists, but. Literally, the sorcerers are in my current list because they are additional wounds. That's about it. But I would never reach for them if they didn't have Sanguine Bond from the champs.
I agree. No, I definitely. That's why they're in my Band of Heroes list. But if they go in my, they're in my Storm Realm North list because I have a unit of champions, and they give that unit of champions magical weapons, which is the answer to, you know, incorporeal. So
I can say, especially when Ghost Fleet was beginning to get its legs underneath it. I was putting a sorcerer on a unit of sluggers, just so I had a reasonably good ranged answer to Blackbane's Ghost Raiders.
That's cute.
yeah, I mean it worked. Like, and then I think with a lot of things that are, I think like with a lot of things like the sorcerer, you start off using it for a particular purpose, and then when you kind of learn a little bit more about how Ghost Fleet plays or what your Naresh opponent is going to do with his Void Spirits or whatever the case may be. Like, you learn that you can just use the stone to do those same things. You just have to be, you have to change like the way you think about using the stone. And so like it eventually got to a point where I just wasn't using them at all. But I know when I first started, especially when Ghost Fleet, when Blackbane's, max Blackbane's with the potential to make more dudes was common in Ghost Fleet, especially when it first kind of started showing up. Yeah, I was popping a sorcerer on a unit, sometimes two sorcerers on two units of sluggers, just to be able to eat stuff alive.
Yeah, I mean, that's John's point. That is very cute. I found typically with Blackbane's, I mean, if I can't get them with the stone, outside of feet turn, they're not doing a whole lot to your troll infantry, but you can generally kind of grind through them. But yeah, it is nice to have the magic weapons outside of the stone's aura, or, you know, the ability to put magic weapons on something and get the plus strength can be huge, especially against something like the Wraith Engine. You know, this can be certainly beneficial, that's for sure. But yeah, I don't know if he is useful enough in enough matches that I would reach for him often.
See, I think I'd always put one in Storm of the North. If I had a unit of champions, they're coming in because of plus five life, but also they provide more than just five life. They provide that magical attack I need. And I feel that is almost more crucial than five life. Because there's a lot of incorporeal models now out there nowadays.
Or at least we're seeing them in more frequency.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that new, makes perfect sense.
The new Crix solo, right, is incorporeal? That, like, we lose tough and all that stuff, too?
So. I believe he is incorporeal. With
all the time.
Yep.
All the time, right? So that's, so that's something disgusting. We got to look. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's something we got to look towards now, because that's going to be brought in every Crix list.
I mean, he'll show up in a lot of them.
At least.
Yeah.
So what? So while we're talking about, like, models that we reach for and we're talking about our list fair, what are your problem matchups, do you feel like, for your list fair right now? Like, what are the matchups that you kind of just don't want to see? And what are you doing to beat them?
Okay, so if I went to a tournament, let's say I went to the tournament tomorrow, it would be Cold Ground. It would be Doomy 3 and Madrak 1, just based on I can't use Brawlers yet for Cold Grandma. And right now, Madrak 1's weakness is stuff that gets around Sacred Bond, Grievous Wounds, Nemo 3, Old Witch, just so many debuffs that Old Witch can put on. Old Witch 2, that is, sorry. That is scary. So my second list needs to be that Signar and Kator drop, which where I think Madrak 3 can handle. Or not Madrak 3, sorry, Doomy 3 can handle. That's what I go into this list pairing as. If I go to the table, I'm dropping Madrak 1. I just feel like there's not enough people that can hit defense 16. And when you do, I can pass that damage around. And hey, if you're bringing a champ solo, I'm retaliatory and striking you. Like, it's just, there's a lot of small pieces in Madrak 1's list that you need to think of. I'm not sure it's all out there yet.
All right. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, my biggest terrifying list against right now that I'd see is the stupid Haley 3 Trencher
list. Grave Diggers?
Yeah, that sounds awful. Every part of
it's
that
fun.
Does not seem good to, and especially, I'm not sure, are Express Teams out yet, or are they
out as the same as Cold Grandma.
That they're out, like, Doomy 3 just can't play into that, and as your Signar drop, like, that just seems like a bad situation to be in. So this guy's they can tag. If he's got the stupid captain or the equivalent of the captain in the list, like, they can tag all four of your beasts in the same turn if he's got two of them, right? So they are just terrifying prospects. And I thought that we were done with ranged Grievous Wounds when Alton went up in points. I was super happy with that, but apparently that was not the case. So that is my nightmare matchup right now, which is why, like I said earlier, probably going to go to Cole Grima, something that can block that shooting and get to combat with the heavies. So
yeah, Cole Grima is my second list. If, you know, I think I need Brawlers with her, just because I take Brawlers and no Axer, or I don't think, if I don't have Brawlers and I have to drop down to Maulers, I need to put an Axer just to have that extra threat.
Yeah, just to get up to that 10-inch, like, threat. Yeah.
Yeah, what I really like about the Axer is you can just make the threat ranges on your heavies just obscene, right? Like, you look at you take an Earthborn in that list, he's like, what, threat range 15 inches?
Yeah, he'll threat 15 if you can stack Hunter's Mark, Rush, and Terrain with
water,
an Earthborn.
And Difficult Terrain, yeah.
Any terrain.
Yeah. Yeah, so that just does not seem pleasant for your opponent, especially when you have a Cloud Wall in front of you.
Yeah, and I find, like, the 13-inch mark is like golden, and that's why I try to threat, and that's where the Brawlers can threat without Rush, with just Hunter's Mark, because they're 2-inch reach. So, yeah, my Cold Grandma list is definitely my answer to Signar and Kator. I played Madrak wanting the Graveyarders. It's not terrible, but I had Fenblades at the time, so, like, I had a piece that threaded far.
Yeah, I know recently, Brent Simon is an exceptional player. And then Keith Christensen obviously is an exceptional player. And so I was talking to them about what the Express team really does to Doomshaper 3. Their recommendation was to keep playing it a little bit. You know, maybe if we mix up some, you know, mix some points around, maybe you can get away with like double bouncer. And then you just, like, move some points around to fit a second bouncer in there. Maybe you lose a heavy, but you'll be able to deliver. So I played that a little bit. Nigel had the same idea, and it worked out okay. But man, the first time, because what it feels like, what's going to happen is once you shield guard that first Grievous Wound shot, that trencher long rifle unit is just going to drill that bouncer into the dirt. Like, they're just going to pick him up off the table.
I've also seen and heard Gravedigger's trenchers just kill a Mountain King flat out. So if you decide to bring a GK or a Mountain King, it's just going to get shot off the table. Like, I've seen it, and I've heard stories about it, and it's just like, there goes that second option of trying to bring two, you know, huge bases and get away from Grievous Wounds, but it just gets shot off the table.
Yeah, it's exceptionally strong. Baby Haley just gets so much work done. And then on top of that, because what they'll do is they'll Grievous out. They'll hit, they'll Grievous. You'll shield guard it because that's what you're supposed to do. And then the minute you shield guard it, if they can get a bead at all on that bouncer, they'll just take the shield guard away from you. And then on your feet turn, you don't have the shield guard to protect one of your heavies, which is what you need it to do. So you're either stuck getting Grievous Wounds and then you have a heavy that's not effective on the feet turn, or you get the shield guard drilled out from underneath you and then you can't protect another heavy on the feet turn. So it's kind of a no win. So it feels like we kind of have to move in the direction of Kolgrimma. So when Chris was talking about Gravediggers, I was like, yeah, that's a problem matchup. Interesting counterpoint, though. So Brent and I have been talking about potentially using Gumbiorn. Using Gumbiorn as a feat and then using Gumbiorn to deliver a melee force and then giving him like a ranged battle group. I don't know how much I like the ranged battle group into Haley 3 because clouds are going to stop what you're trying to do so well.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of delivering a melee infantry force that is going to get in and be able to actually get some work done versus trenchers and using Gumbiorn as a method to deliver them. And I was curious if you guys had any thoughts on that or if there was something that maybe you're doing specifically in the Haley 3 matchup.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the chance to play the Haley 3 matchup yet to see what it actually works out to with Doomshaper. But with Gumbiorn, I mean, the matches I played before with Cloudwalls just seemed to hurt him so badly. I was playing Gunbjorn as I was getting ready for WTC for a while. And then when, you know, the Crix Clouds with Gatsby 2 came out, like, it's just Clouds hurt him so bad. But the melee force with him does sound interesting. And I've heard that before. Like, you know, if you took a unit of champs or something, you just constantly put the wall in front of them and, you know, move them up and then have the feet as well in your pocket. Like, I think that there's definitely a lot of value you could get out of that.
But I think the downside to bringing melee champs into this cloud wall of trenchers is that you're never going to get a charge off, right? So you're pretty much walking, and champs threat, what, 6 walking? So you need to, like, pop your feet, right? Or you either pop your feet and then you just run next turn to jam with them, where I think Fenblades can work well with Gunborn if you protect them from shooting and just jam and just follow that up. I heard about this before. I never actually played it yet. I've been trying to work on a gunny cold range list. I also thought, like, Borka 2 can be pretty good. Bringing them stealth.
I've actually been thinking about Borka 2 quite a bit as an answer to Gunlines, just because you get Borka 2's feet is... I don't think the general player base realizes how powerful Borka 2's feet is, because for so long, the only things that you would get stationaried on were his battle group. But now that literally everything in a Storm of the North list, you will get stationaried from. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize how good that is. I don't think people are ready for it.
And then if you have Ambush and Bears, like, that's pretty good.
Going to be hard to argue it. But that, you know, so we talk about the Haley 3, which I agree is going to be a problematic matchup for trolls. I don't think we readily have access to a particularly good answer to that list. I think we're probably looking at like a 50-50 matchup, which is fine. That's where we want to be. But I don't think we're ever going to see like a positive matchup out of that list. But one thing that obviously has been on the tip of everybody's tongue, is Crix. So, whether it's Ghost Fleet piloted by Denny One or it's Coven piloting Dark Host, those
Scar One.
Or Scar One, yeah, double Wraith engine Scar One is just obnoxious. Whether we're seeing like one of those two, How do we feel about our list pairs going into the Crix matchup? Like, what are the things you're looking for that are going to give you the game or that can break the game open for you? How are you playing that into Crix?
Okay, so like I said at the start of this cast, my practice partner basically is a Crix player, and I practice Madrak 1. I'm probably up to 50 games with him into Crix. Recently, it's a lot of Scar 1. He's tried a lot of Dark Industries, just messing around with that list for practicing. I find myself with Madrak 1 feeding a lot earlier to prevent the charges, and it kind of helps me because then he has to counter feed and back off because he can't be within my charge range. And then I basically just sit there, cool, I'll give you one champion to charge, and I'll set everything else back and just try to score the zones. Like, I feel like a lot of people want to feed to heal everything, but if you think about his feet, you can't be charged. It's really good because like you basically prevent your whole army being charged. So like the extension walks 7, threats 9. If they have that chick on the horse, threats what 10? Like you can stay outside of that. That's not a problem. Or you give him a model and try to bait him into attacking it. Like it all depends on your matchup.
That's a really good point, too, because, I mean, when the entire army is either Cav with Dark Shroud or it's Weapon Masters with Dark Shroud, how much healing are you going to be doing anyway? You're either going to have 1 health or 5. It feels like you're never going to be anything in between, right?
Yeah, I played the Scar 1 matchup a couple weeks back with Madrak 1, and that's where I found my list and your list are very different there, John, because I was able to just throw Creel Warriors at him and say, all right, Wraith Engines, you can have at it at the Creel Warriors because, you know, if you back up, you're backing up into your deployment zone. And if you stay where you are or you come get the Creel Warriors, the champs are just killing you next turn. So it was a very straightforward matchup for me. And it didn't feel like the Scar 1 player had much of an opportunity to be in the game. But again, that's just a difference of list build. So
how's your go ahead.
I was going to ask, do you feel like Dark... did you ever feel threatened by Dark Guidance? Like, I've played Madrak 1 and 2, Dark Host, piloted by Scar 1, and Dark Guidance just clocked me upside the head something fierce. What were you, if you don't mind me asking, what were you doing to help kind of mitigate the efficaciousness of Dark Host into your Defense 16 champs?
You know what, like I said, it's the Creel Warriors that are in front of them that were really mitigating any impact. So he could hit them. And he could hit the Creel Warriors, he could hit the champions, no issues at all because he's got the Dark Guidance. But every time he takes a Creel Warrior out, that's just another spot for a champion to land. So the next turn, the champions charge through the Creel Warriors, kill whatever killed the line of Creel Warriors, and then the Creel Warriors run in front of the champions, and then we rinse and repeat over and over. And every time he commits something, it's just going to die. So
now, did you find that his impact attacks were... Like, was he impacting to kill a model and continuing, or was he not taking the chance of you making it tough?
The knights he had, they were not taking the chance on the tough. He impacted attacks a couple times early in the game, but one of them topped, one of them he got through. But even then, he's still only killing maybe 1 or 2 Creel Warriors of 16. So,
yeah, see, I like to bring Fenblades because they're just hard. They don't suffer from impact attacks. Like,
yep.
I don't know. Fenblades are really good. And I feel like we haven't talked about them in Madrak 1. I started with them. I got away from them just based on where I want my Madrak 1 list. Like, I want my Madrak 1 list to be into Crix. And Ghost Fleet was huge at the time, which I'm sure it still will be huge. Probably not as much of a problem anymore with the CID for Crix coming around. But Scar 1 is pretty scary. And I kind of like the whole Tova Krueler. So I have 2 units. One's fully painted. You know, I can start painting another one if I have to.
The second unit's on my desk right now. If I wasn't talking to you guys, I'd be painting it. So,
so yeah, it's really interesting. I love the idea. It Creel Warriors have always been like really hit or miss with me. I obviously in Mark II they had their prayers, so you could get them up the table at essentially speed. It's plus 2 inches of movement. Mm-hmm. So essentially speed 6, you could get them where they wanted to go. Chris, do you think have you had any problems getting position that you want with them, or is just rocketing forward 10 on turn 1, is that getting you where you need to be, or have you ran into any problems where you haven't been able to develop the board as quickly as you wanted to with them?
No, I haven't seen any issues with it yet. I feel like with a +2 deployment helps a lot with that in the Band of Heroes. And then generally they just run for 2 straight turns. Like even if my opponent gives me charge opportunities, it's usually not like one or two of them might take a charge onto something. But I played a Grimkin player last week and then he put the -2 speed at me and I was like, that's cool. I'm just going to run at you 6 inches anyways. So, and then like I said, the army bunkers around a flag or like a zone. And as long as we're well beyond that with the Creel Warriors, we're fine because we should be in their zone or contesting their flag and creating this bubble of Def 14 guys that, you know, is hard to contest. So.
I feel like
Def 14 arm 19, right?
Yeah.
And tactician is pretty huge.
Tactician is the best part of the Madrak 1 change.
Yep. Like, well, we used to have it with the champ solo and we took that away, right? So then champions became like so hard to position and basically obsolete, let's say. And then they came back with Tactician and Madrak and Seguin Bond, and now the champions are like the god of that list.
Yeah.
I feel like we hit Madrak 1 pretty hard though.
We're all clearly in love. So. Let's try to talk about our other friends.
let's talk about the new, like there's a question about the new casters, right? The past 4 new casters.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that question, that was actually one of the ones I was headed towards. So
nice.
excuse me. Essentially, we've gotten 4 new warlocks since the release of Mark III, Ragnor, Horgul, 2, Madrak 3, and now Kulgrimma. Do you feel like these releases stack up against our older warlocks? And how about these releases versus other factions as new releases? And so essentially, I think what he's essentially asking for is, how do you feel about the power level of our new release casters versus other factions? I can tell you from my lens, and then I'll turn it over to Chris and then John and then Nigel. I can tell you from my lens, I think all 4 of our new casters have been, 3 of our 4 new casters have been exceptionally good, very good. And then Madrak 3 is probably on the southern end of the power scale.
You make me sad.
But he's still but the thing is though, he still has matchups where he's brilliant, right? Like there's still matchups where Madrak 3 is just fine. He's very good actually. Which is what makes Madrak 3 like so frustrating for me is because I kinda like I look at the feet and I look at his kit. I just want to figure out a way to just play him more often because I love the things he does, but when you have a feat that's as variable as 4+ tough. And then, like, it's hard for me to get that to make sense in my head, to get the most out of it, because I don't want to gamble on a 50-50, but his feat almost requires that you gamble to that 50-50. I don't know, but I think the others are just fine. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. Madrak 3, I wish I had all the practice time in the world, because I love the Madrak 3 model. I would like to get some more practice with him. And I feel like he is just he's one of those casters that has yet to be unlocked, and when he is, he's gonna be awesome. But just figuring that out is gonna take time. I brought Horgul 2 to WTC. Whether or not that was a good decision is up to everyone else. But he went, and I thought he was playing well before then. So the issue now is with him specifically. Is like, what does he do that other casters aren't going to do better? But that's the other ones too. Like Ragnar, there was a time I thought Ragnar was the best caster in the faction.
God of all gods.
Yeah. Even with like, that was post or pre nerf on Madrak 2, and Madrak 2 was awesome, but I still thought Ragnar was maybe a step above. And I don't know. I think they're all so good. Kulgrimma, once I get some practice time in with her, I think she's going to be amazing. I feel for trolls, she might be like a huge meta changer. Like cloud walls and trolls just doesn't seem okay, but we'll see.
So I obviously love Madrak 3. I've had a lot of conversations and defended him since day one he came out. I took him to the Ontario Team Championship last year, and everyone's like, why are you taking him? I'm like, well, double Fen Blades, double UAs, double Kill Warriors, Mauler, and Earthborn. Bring it on. What are you going to do? Like, chew through all those boxes on my feet turn, waste your clock killing all that stuff, go right ahead. I went 5-1 with him in OTC. I love Madrak 3. So this is pre-CID, like pre-new models. Madrak 3 was amazing. I dabbed a bit into Kira the, or not, wow, that shooting theme, I totally forgot because I haven't played it in a while.
Creel Company
with him. Spell Piercer is pretty good when you play in the Crix. A couple bombers, Spell Piercer, Battle Engine. It basically kills the Wraith Engine pretty easily with Spell Piercer. Sluggers. Now, Magic 3 doesn't see the table because all the new updates, all the new models. I dabbed into Horga 2 quite a bit when he first came out. I thought he was pretty fun. He was different. No one knew what he did. Now, I haven't touched him in probably 6 months because he just doesn't bring anything to the table that we can't bring. Ragnar, like Chris said, well, I added, he was God of all gods when he first came out. Just amazing feat. One less die. I thought it was awesome. And then basically Dooming 3's feat still is better when he heals D3 plus 3. And then Cold Grandma, I think, like Chris said, is going to change the meta, and having a cloud wall where you can protect your 4 or 5 heavies and power Adunia, you're going to alpha first. And if you're going to alpha first, you're going to have 3 heavies in their face. You're going to kill whatever they're going on, especially if they're charging for free. Like, it's just really gross. Her feet is really good too. Like, there's a lot to her feet. Like, everything loses Pathfinder, including huge bases. So it's really strong. So that's where I sit right now. I think Kilogram was the only new caster you'll see from the past 4 that anyone's going to be playing. I could probably say that pretty positive. You
know, Nigel, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I basically agree with their points. Also, like with CID, with the new guys, like literally the Trollkin Runebearer, just his change by himself, makes me want to revisit the old guys. Like, I find that way more interesting. I feel like the whole faction has, like, all the casters are relatively new, with just 2 extra inches of control. It's, it changes so much. So the new guys, I played against Chad with Horgel, too. I thought he was really cool and sort of powerful, but it's janky. Like, you have to jump through kind of hoops to sort of unlock his power, which then creates the onus is on you to wield him correctly, which is can be, like, negative. It's like playing against the grain a little bit. I haven't really seen Runer Master or whatever. Trolls just have so many cool guys who got revisited by accident with the CID that I don't know.
Yeah, the Runebearer, like you mentioned, is probably the most positive buff to all our Fury 5 casters. Like, having a control of 10 going to a control of 12, it's so good. Like, it brings a lot of the old casters up to par now, and you can actually play them or give them a chance at the table.
Well, it's a combination of that and the stone buff too, right? The stone not having to be refilled by some poor Fury 5 caster that never got to fill it up to full in the first place is like, that's just massive in trolls.
Yeah, Awakening Spirit is pretty good, especially like you walk 5 first turn and then you roll a 3 or you roll a 6 and you get 3 Fury. It's like, sweet. I put 2 Fury in that stone the rest of the game. And it's full the rest of the game. Like, it walks, does it again. Oh, look at that. I get 1 Fury I just spent. Mm-hmm. Like, it never goes empty anymore.
Yeah, I'm super happy with that.
It's also interesting because it's it sort of adds a... They did it cleverly. Like, you do pay by being a star action, which is nice. I like that. I've always used them to basically just run every turn. They're almost like a melee unit. Like a, you know. But now it's sort of like they squarely fall in like a support role, or they get a little bit farther behind. I don't know. It's interesting how they made it a cool.
I basically, it's really sweet because like before, like you said, you used to just run, pop the aura, fill it up. Caster does nothing, and now it's like caster puts 3 in the stone or 4 in the stone to max it up first turn. Cool. If I really need to run it next turn to get it somewhere, I still have 5. I go down to 4. Like, that's really cool. Like, and your caster doesn't have to touch it. If you want to, you can put 1 in. The stone is really good. Like, I could talk about the stone all the time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the elder, the new elder. Do you think you'll see it outside of Storm of the North?
Unlikely, in my opinion, at least.
I thought of some Power Dunia ones. I thought about taking them in.
I think, like, unless if you're playing Power Dunia with Orca 2, yeah, there'd be very little point because nothing would actually get the buff from the stone, right? It's only
the plus North one Kid speed. Models. Yeah,
even then, it's only a Northkin model, right?
Yeah.
Plus 1 speed. So it's like outside of that theme, you could have 1 unit with Scaldi. And then if you took bears or something outside of theme, which you you can't, and the bears don't get it, and this whole thing. I don't know. It's super weird.
I was thinking of the winter magic was the one that got me excited in Dunia.
Yeah, so I feel like if you're taking the winter magic, like I think there's been a lot of posts in the last couple of days, even today, about it. Gunny and bringing all the ice trolls for range game.
Yeah.
You bring the Norskin Elder.
Yeah, we were actually talking about that on Facebook. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, and even then, it's just you're only using it for the winter spell, right? You're not using it for anything else.
Correct. But I think there's power, quite a lot of power in that.
There is a lot of power there, but like, I'm pretty sure I think I mentioned on Facebook, what do you drop it into? Like, what's your pairing? I feel like you lose. Like, it's a sweet, fun jank list you can have some fun with, but can you actually take it to a competitive pairing and actually do well with it? Who knows? Maybe.
I don't know. To your point, it's super neat, but the second you end up with a stealth or an incorporeal skew against you, you're in real trouble because all of a sudden you can't turn that off, right?
And that's where you need the answer in your second list, and that's kind of hard. Like,
yeah.
So that actually brings up another interesting topic that is worth kind of exploring that we've got some questions on, which has been, do you feel like the Norskin Elder is a good enough reason to push you into Sons of the North with the +2 strength, or is Spirit Chaser on the Old Stone still going to be the tried and true standby? And I think right now for me, other than playing some fun lists with Borka 2 and Sons of the North, I think we're still kind of tethered to the original Stone Scribe Elder.
See, if you're going, I kind of disagree. If you go into Storm of the North, I feel like you just take the Elder. Because if I'm going to the Storm of the North, I'm pretty sure I'm playing Borka 2. Like, I just think Borka 2 and Storms of the North with some polar bears, pyro. I actually have a list on my phone right now. I was looking at it because I was making it. I was making a new list as we were talking. just double units of bears, double units of fire eaters. I have champions for the sorcerer. I have raiders. Like, all those stuff benefits from the +1 speed or the +2 strength. I just feel like they can hit pretty hard. I don't know. I don't see myself playing Storm of the North outside of Borka 2 right now. I have a Yarrow list I want to play, but that's just jank.
I think the biggest thing I would abuse in Storm of the North would be the speed from the Elder. The strength is, I mean, it's great, but it's only really +1 strength over what you're getting in or have the potential to get in your regular list, right? But the speed can be huge. Like you talked about Jarl with Quicken, like Gristle 2 with Dash, you know, anything that gives like that and that plus speed, you know, with Dash or with Quicken, like you're past the midway line with a lot of units. Like
champions start far with Quicken. I can tell you that.
I think they run with Jarl, they run 16 inches in the first turn. Like that's just insane.
Yeah. Right? That's where I'm leaning with the whole Jarl, because he upkeeps all his stuff for free on Norskin models, and he has 3 upkeeps, so he's not fury heavy at all. So he can start using Magic Bullet a few times a turn.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some tech there, but I just don't know. My biggest issue with Storm of the North versus the Band of Heroes, which I would generally play, is the RFP. Losing access to that is just, I think that's enough to make me not play Storm of the North anytime soon. Especially if Ghost Fleet's still going to be a thing.
It's funny because when you mentioned RFP, I wasn't playing Band of the Heroes for a very long time. I was playing the Kuro Company shooting, and that's what I was dropping into, like Ghost Fleet and like Grim 1 at the time. I was dropping, and it did well with double war wagons and a bomber and like Highwaymen and double minions of sluggers. Like it would take so much off the board. Like he would have to recur, come back up the board, shoot my war wagons because they're in the front, go ahead, and then basically what happened again. And now it's like Grim One's feet, it's even better because of -3 speed and you can't charge. So I don't know, I kind of dropped that now because of Magic One. So like there's so many possibilities in this game right now for us, and I feel like we could talk for hours about it and where to go. I don't think we'll find the perfect pairing if we sat here all night. I don't think
I totally agree. There's so many options for trolls right now. Every time I open up War Room, I'm like, oh, I could do this weird thing, or I could do this odd thing. And it's just like this. The possibilities are endless for sure, which is awesome to say the least. So,
I know for me, you talk about Grim 1. I'm a huge Grim 2 fanatic. That's no secret. anybody who's read anything I posted online, it's always Grim 2. And I play a game very similar to what you were talking about, John. Like I'm going to shave off their front line, dig a little bit deeper. I'm going to let them recur. They're going to do a little bit of damage to my engines. I'm going to come back into them. I'm going to wash, rinse, repeat. I'm going to try and win the attrition game until I can draw a beat on Denny and then kill her. And that's essentially the way it works. And it sucks because sometimes you lose the engines quickly, or sometimes they get double crits on Stygian Abyss and you can't threaten the Coven as easily as you wanted to. But for the most part, the board control has been good enough to get me to play that game. But, you know, the more I start going back down into the world of Band of Heroes, man, I just like Chris said, like it's hard for me to imagine, because I've been playing Band of Heroes now more than ever. And it's hard for me to imagine giving up Takedown. Like, and it's not just the RFP. There are so many tough options in this game. I lined up against a player playing Yuriska 2 Legion of Steel, which is also a pet list of mine. I love that list. I love that theme. I love that list. It's excellent. It's fun to play. I line up against the guy and we're talking through the matchup and I'm like, yeah, like, and I'm playing Band of Heroes. And I'm like, man, I'm like, I think this is a bad matchup for me. Like, you just have so many hard hitting guys. And so it just completely skipped my mind that, oh, wait a minute. Takedown doesn't give you tough checks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at the point at which I was able to establish the line of engagement, you know, Femblades out threat Iron Fang Pikeman by a pretty substantial margin on the mini feet. So it became a very one sided game very quickly. And so now that I've gotten adjusted to that, I just like Chris said, I don't think I can give it up. I don't know. It's like the closest thing to a crack habit you can have in War Machine, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, Takedown's pretty huge, especially if you ever do play the mirror match, Madrek 1 versus Madrek 1. I beg you never do it, because it is very, very long, boring, slugfest, and very tiring at the end of the game. I had the pleasure of doing it twice so far. definitely in your own matchup, into trolls or anything that is tough, the Band of Heroes is very, very nice. Like, I never used to play Band of Heroes. Like, I think Madrek 3 was my first time playing Band of Heroes. I just flooded guys all the time. That was the only reason I played it. And then I got away from it, played the Kiro Company and Power Ardunia, just based on because I wanted to be different. And it's worked. But yeah, I got sucked into Band of Heroes because of Madrek 1. So yeah, it's pretty strong.
I guess the other nightmare list I almost had the chance to play the other day was Madrek 1 into Madrek 2. Because I'll say Madrek 1 may be great, but he gets rolled by Madrek 2 super hard. That was I ended up playing Doomshaper 3 into it, but I played the match previously, and it's like, okay, that's great that you're Def 14, but one guy is going to get up to Mat, you know, 9 or 10 and just Pac-Man through everything that you love, and especially when it's all Creel Warriors, like in my list. Yeah.
So yeah, that does bring up an interesting, kind of an interesting juxtaposition. Do we have to tech for the mirror match at this point? Are there going to be enough trolls? Do you guys think there's going to be enough troll players out there because of these changes?
I can tell you right now.
We're going to have to start teching for the mirror match? Because I haven't had to do that since Gristle won Miserable Meat Mountain. Like, so, this is weird.
I can tell you right now, I played the trolls for the past 2 years, and I've been the only troll player at tournaments for the longest time. Even going to like a big OTC event, I think there's maybe like 4 or 5 of us out of like 32 teams or 36 teams. There's like 5 of us. In my meta now, there has been 2 new troll players pop up or switch to the faction. And then I know like my friend up north, Josh, he basically dove into trolls for a while because that was his first faction. And then decided he's a better Menoth player, but he's still dojoing with me all day, all the time. So I feel like he's coming back to the trolls. So yeah, we've talked about the mirror matchup and I feel like it's miserable. Like,
sure. Like, Haley 3 players get what they deserve when they have to play the mirror. So I guess Madrek 1 players get what we deserve when we have to play the mirror. Chris, what do you think about the mirror? Is it something that we need to legitimately start putting some brain cells towards when we're looking at list selection?
I think it's something we legitimately have to be concerned with. I think there's a lot of players who love trolls, who went away for a while, who are coming back. Like, to John's point, you know, there's people who went away, played Menoth, played whatever else, you know, and but trolls is such a popular faction out there that it's just a matter of time till all of those, call them fair weather players, you know, make their way back to the the Kith. But I live in like a super weird meta. Like I show up to a 60-man steamroller and there are four troll players for some reason for the past 2 years. Like it's just super odd. So I have been prepared for the troll mirror for a long time, but even now there's a couple guys that are like coming back to trolls. So now it's even more like in my own meta. It's like I got six players in the last, you know, 24 person tournament that we're playing trolls. It's just weird. So yeah, it's definitely something we're going to have to not tech for necessarily, but at least be prepared to see and be prepared to play those 2 hour grindfest games. Cause that's exactly what's going to happen every time.
I've always liked those games and I try myself on those long games. Like I could play 7 rounds in a day and just play all 2 hours and just keep going. Like I want to put my mind to it. I love that stuff. And I feel like that's like I came into this game when EE just got nerfed and Runes of War was still huge. And then Family Reunion. So like my games were long anyways. So I'm just so used to it. And like when I get those random lists I play, Crystal 2 and Assassinate top of 2, and I sit around for 45 minutes or an hour and a half, I get kind of boring and I lose interest. So the grindy games is what I like. And Madrek 1 brings that for me.
Oh, he does in spades, sir. He does in spades. So you know what, though? Let's I'm going to switch gears here for a second because I'm really curious what you guys' answers are to this. So you have a player. You have a troll player. Someone who's looking maybe at coming back to the Creel. Or you have somebody who's maybe just starting the game. Or maybe we just have some players out there that are just like, you know what? I don't really know where I want to go. And this part's hard. This part of the game is hard for me. So help me out. What are, when you're looking at troll lists in a, just as a generic thing, what are a couple of just nuggets of wisdom, things that you do, things that you would tell someone to watch out for when you're building troll lists? It's almost like, I guess what I'm asking is if you were going to walk up to a player who's at a tournament and they just went 0-4, and they just got their head beat up against a wall all day, and they're looking at their list pair and they're going, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? What would you tell that person as a general piece of advice for building their lists? So Chris, I'm going to, cause I know you've had some input on things like this before. And I know you've specifically when you were talking to Jay, you know, around the WTC time, there was a little bit of conversation about some misconceptions of the factions and things like that. So I'm really curious, you know, what are some of those things that you would give somebody who's looking at their list pair going, where did I go wrong here?
Sure. I think probably the number one thing that I always look at when I'm looking to create a list pair, and something I'd always recommend to someone, is to make sure that there's balance between the two. To John's points earlier, they have to cover each other off. And, you know, a lot of people, specifically troll players, you know, they get into the faction and they think, oh, I want to, you know, play with the big heavies. I want to, couple beast heavy lists, and one of them could be shooting and one of them could be melee, but you know that doesn't cover enough of the gaps for yourself that like a infantry list and a beast heavy list would. So that'd be probably my number one recommendation, is just to find a balance of like an infantry or mixed arms list and a beast list, or however you wanted to balance that out, you could, but just to make sure that was there, because the biggest rabbit hole you can kind of fall down is to get stuck in a list pairing that doesn't have at least game into everything or into most things, and then getting stuck into 4 games in a row that you're just like, I didn't see how I had a chance there. Like, I didn't see what I can do. And that's really the most disheartening thing that I find for new players. So,
all right, John, what do you think?
For myself, personally, I had a lot of wisdom around my area. Like I said, like you mentioned, I had Tim Bankey, and basically I played games with – I basically call him like I boot camped with him probably 5 days a week every morning for a game or two when I first got into the game, so I can just learn the game, play it over and over and over, took some wisdom from fellow friends, you know, applied it to my own way. And eventually I got to myself where I picked casters I like, things I want to try, and I went with it for a while. If you want to be competitive, definitely you need to reach out and ask people who have been competitive and who have been farther than you or who has achieved a little more than you in this game, and take their wisdom. Like, honestly, the War Machine community is amazing. You can ask a question on any forums or any Facebook forums or posts or whatever the hell you call them, and you'll get an answer from someone. And if you really think about it, those people who are answering are people who've been to the WTC or been around the game for a while. And you just go with it. Like, you work it in, you ask questions why. The community's great. Like, and I feel like I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm excited to be a part of it. I'm excited to be on this podcast and actually talking about it, because it's basically what I love. It's my hobby. That's what I would explain to them. I've had a few friends that went 0-4. I just shoot the shit, even though they're not playing trolls, they're playing another faction. I just shoot the shit with them, ask what wrong, what happened during this game, and eventually they'll realize what they did wrong without you even pointing it out. So,
yeah, you can kind of ask questions to lead them to their own conclusions. And much to the point that I think you and Chris were both making is that I've never gone to a tournament, went 4-0, and was hoisted on everybody's shoulders and carried out like a champion. And I've never gone to a tournament and went 0-4 and people shunned me for bringing shame to this dojo. Right. So, like, I don't know anybody in the community that is so hard that they're just like, no, you didn't do well. You suck. Get out of here, noob. Like, that's definitely not the way our community, the gaming community for this game, is built. But it's still interesting. I know from my own perspective, one of the things I try to help players understand, especially when they'll do things like, someone will send me a list and they'll say, like, is this a good list? And then I'll look at it and I'm like, it's a list with models in it. And then they'll reply to me and like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, I don't understand what you're trying to accomplish. What are you pairing this list with? You're playing Doomshaper 3. That's awesome. I love Doomshaper 3. He's an amazing warlock. What are you bringing with him? Mm-hmm. Because if your intentions are to drop Doomshaper 3 into Ghost Fleet, I'm not sure you're going to have a really good game there. That's going to be an uphill battle for you. If you're dropping Doomshaper 3 into, Karchev Marauder spam, that's a much better game for Doomshaper. It's all dependent. So I try to get people that ask me, what do I think of? I try to get them to think in terms of a pairing. And I think that's why my Doomshaper 3 list and Michael Grimm list are built very specifically the way they are. And that's also why my Grimm 2 list looks so weird, is because it is designed to handle very specific matchups that obviously Doomshaper 3 can't handle. And I think that's something that I try to get people to understand from my own lens. So on that note, when we're talking about like list pairs, I have to ask, I've got to know, this is so cool, what do you think is the faction's best kept secret right now? Like, when it comes to list construction, playing the game, what is our best kept secret? What is the one thing that troll players should be doing that they're not doing, or the one thing that you think troll players should be doing but they're not doing? And we'll just go around the table. So I'll start with Chris and work our way down.
Ooh, tough question.
That is a tough question. That's why I started with you, so I have time to think of my answer.
Oh, best kept secret in the faction. I gotta say, probably the biggest one for me lately is access to new models like the minions and mercs. There's so many weird synergies and weird things that they balance out across the faction that they really bring a whole new kind of secret way of playing with trolls in general. So, for example, like my Doomshaper 3 list, I threw a Gremlin Swarm into there, 3 points. And I found for the longest time my Doomshaper list had a problem contesting and being aggressive enough in scenario. And all of a sudden that's majorly solved because of one model, right? So, like, looking outside of the faction into those mercs and minions available to us is something that a lot of troll players should be looking more so into.
Just as a quick side note, do you think troll players are cognitive of the fact that Lanissa Rissel really is a very big deal for troll lists? Like, as I've seen a lot of lists come across, but it seems like nobody's talking about Lanissa, Gremlin Swarms, even Feralgeist. Feralgeist are still excellent for 2 points. Do you think people are just kind of overlooking that now, or do you think it's just a... Do you think it's just a, you know, we just got all this new Northkin stuff and I want to play with the new toys?
I think it might be overlooked a little bit. I think people are certainly between the Northkin stuff and looking at shiny things, and people just kind of being set on their POD lists that they played for a significant amount of time, or the Band of Hero lists that they played for a significant amount of time. maybe they're not finding ways to squeak those, you know, 3-4 points in there because they're like, oh, well, I've always taken, you know, double Mauler or double Earthborn or something like that. So, you know, maybe they're not looking for those opportunities as much as they should.
Elisros is a huge model. Like, there was a point where there was no themes for a while. Like, we were playing outside, right? Like, and Elisros was in every list of mine. Like, +2 inches is good for anything. Hunter's Mark is amazing. I feel like people now see Cold Grandma as Alyssa Rissell with a Hunter's Mark, and you can arc through Mulg. So I feel like you take those two packages, and then you don't need the 4-point solo. But I see what you're saying. I would love to take her in my Doomies 3 list. But like you said, it's between a Gwem's a Swarm, and like I don't have an extra point.
Right. Well, John, what do you think is what's the best kept secret in the faction right now?
Right now, with all the new models, I think it's there is no pair. Like, you can't just sit down and say, I'm bringing this because this is the best pair trolls have. I think we have so many casters that you can bring to the table, and the people on the other side won't expect to see a Borka 1 or a Grissa 1 or like a Jarl. Like, who brings Jarl to a tournament? Well, this guy does. Like, I don't think people are ready to see that stuff. And you bring it with like Jarl and Storm of the North. Like I said, he upkeeps 3 models. Champions run 16 first turn. Guess what? They're threatening 10 next turn or 12. Like, bring it on. Like, it's scary. Like, how do you tech for all that? You can't. I feel like our secret will be unlocked when someone comes up with this one list that just is insane. And right now it's Madrak 1, but there's been so many different Madrak 1s out there that which one's right? I don't think there is one, right? So I think we just have so many different pairings we can put up there, and people can't tech for them all.
Well, that's a good point. I would say for me, if there's a best kept secret in trolls, I have a tendency to look at units, and trolls have some units that are just ridiculous for their value. Creel Warriors, for all the grief that they get for 11 points for a power strength 10, typically 11 or 12, depending on theme, speed 5, unyielding, just cheap, tough bodies that you can get in the way. Like, Creel Warriors, I feel like are drastically overlooked. And I think also one of the most underrated units, I think probably one of the best kept secrets in trolls are Sluggers.
Oh, Sluggers are amazing.
Yeah, they're so good. They are our only Rat 6 shooting option in terms of units outside of Fire Eaters. I believe Fire Eaters are Rat 6.
Correct.
And then there's like just the volume of shots they can produce. On average, that unit produces 10 shots. That's just a withering amount of firepower. And for some reason, they're power strength 13. They're one POW higher than the average shooty gun. That's pretty amazing. So I would say those are really, really best kept secrets. But both of you had really good points in the fact that right now the faction is just so wide open that almost everything's a secret at this point. Like, it's someone's going to show up to a large event and just crush the large event. And I have a feeling we're all just going to be standing around scratching our heads going, what just happened?
That's sort of the great thing about what's attractive, like, for me new coming in, is that it is so... Like, when you were asking this question, I'm just like, I just threw my hands up. Like, who cares? Or, like, I don't have an answer for this. Because, like, the whole thing's kind of, like you guys are saying, the whole thing's a secret. Like, the ambush bears are amazing. I love the Trollkin Scouts, Fire Eaters. Like, every unit is so quality.
The lookout are going to be a thing.
The UA for Bushwhackers, that UA, that stupid idiot with the high explosive mortar.
Oh my, it's so good.
It's so amazing. And there's so many baller, like, you can throw that in a Doomshaper 3 list if you can take him out of Power of Duny or whatever. Like, and then that stupid little scroll animus on those guys is, or his scroll ability where they have signs of importance for a turn. It's just gross. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's so many little combos. You go off the rack immediately, like, with that faction, and then people can't prepare for it, which is attractive for me. It's like, oh, it's a Wild West. Like, I'm, you know, or if we put on different, if I'm talking Kador, the conventions are really pounded, you know, so, you know, you've probably said Karchev 10 Marauder or Karchev whatever, you know.
And Old Witch 2.
Old Witch 2, exactly. And so, you know, it's very easy to find a secret in that faction, because if you're playing, like, Sorsha and Jaws with Kassai Woodsman and Yuri, you know, you're, like, going for, like, some sort of deep jank that's very situational, and it's not really a, you know, I don't know. It's like, and other factions have that ability because what is conventionally good is very obvious. And in Trolls, that's, I don't just think, I feel like that's not the case. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but
I think right now the only obvious choice is a lot of people are talking about Magic 1. Like, how do you solve Defense 16 champions and Defense 14 everything else that can't be knocked down? It's scary. I admit it. There are a lot of answers out there, and I've talked about them quite a bit on Facebook, and that's why I need a second list that answers those answers. It's just like, cool. Can I get away from Madrek 1 now? Because people will bring answers to them. If I bring something shooty, like Trolls don't have guns, I beg to differ.
Trolls actually have very good guns.
But a lot of people are like, oh, Trolls don't have guns. I beg to differ. Let's throw it out. Like,
I really want to see like a Colgrim, a double Highwayman, Sluggers, like all the Creel company, yes. And just be like, I'm gonna. What is it? The affliction. What is the stupid thing called?
It's affliction,
but it's not an upgrade. Yeah. So she's gonna like hit you with that, and then you're gonna pump like 40 shots into something and just drop it.
Curse of Fate.
Curse of Fate.
And it was funny, Chris, because someone had posted online. They're like, "Well, what are you thinking about building with Colgrimma?" And I was like, "You know what? Like, I honestly don't know." I could build Storm of the North, but the thing about it is she's so versatile. Like, because I made the comment, I'm like, I think it would be awesome if you could set up a troll gun line that they can't answer, right? That's like exactly. Like, that's one of the worst things in the world is when you get pushed further away from your target, you lose Pathfinder, you lose flight, you lose Eyeless Sight, and then on top of that, they're going to put up clouds so you don't get charges.
You also can't make range attacks for one round.
And you can't make range. Yeah, so you can't reply. Like, that's like people like, and people blew me up. They said, "Well, I don't think Colgrimma has any place in a Creel company list." And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe it's bad. I mean, I could be wrong. But
I guess where people come from, I talk about it quite a bit on everywhere. Is what's your pairing? Like, if you're playing Magic 1 and you bring a gun line with a lot of units, can you break armor still? I say yes, because Magic 1 can break armor. Like, I've dropped Magic 1 into Karchev 9 Marauders and had a field day, not a problem. Like, a lot of fun. But, like, that's where I'm at right now. I'm like, what do I just bring? Like, I have a tournament in a week. It's a pretty big tournament. I have no idea what I'm bringing. Like, it's just up in the air. It'd be like the day before, I want to bring Barka 2 with 2 units Ambush and Bears and Fire Eaters and let's go to town. Like, Raiders, Northkin Raiders. Like, we haven't even spoken about them. They're amazing.
Yeah, and Chris, you were going to jump in on that too. What were your thoughts?
Oh, I just think in terms of that gun line, like I said, the list that I was putting together here, and it might be more cute than good, but we'll see. But it's like, you know, double Highwayman, unit of Sluggers, unit of Bushwhackers, and then a couple Bombers in the battle group. And then that's, you know, like I said, people used to play what's her name, Tanith, with Affliction all the time, like double Reeves or whatever it is in that faction with Affliction, and you'd pop Affliction on something and pop 40 shots into it and drop it. Well, Colgrim is actually better because hers isn't an upkeep where Affliction is, right? So you could hit something with that multiple times in a turn, drop a couple targets, move on, push it back and say, see you next turn, right? Or throw up a bunch of clouds in front of you and be like, well, now you have to walk towards my crappy 8-inch threat range Highwayman. But, you know, it's an option. And the other point is, like, there's just so many options right now, which is it's going to be an awesome experience to watch for the next few months.
So I also would add that with Colgrimma, I think Colgrimma brings the best Rune Bearer in the game. The Rune Bearer loves Colgrimma beyond any reasonable doubt.
Like, for the extra... Yeah, extra feet range.
Also, well, the extra feet range, but almost like outside of her clouds, everything can be channeled through, or everything can be cast by
Mog.
A Rune Bearer. Everything can be cast by a Rune Bearer. Your Rune Bearer has a 10-inch spray. That makes a Rune Bearer pretty scary, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Your Rune Bearer has Affliction. Well,
yeah, I guess he can't vanish, but.
True. He can't vanish. He can't cast clouds. But he's got, that's an amazing Rune Bearer.
Yeah, he has metal on that curse Fate, Hunter's Mark, and Wintertide. Like, it's all things you can use, and it's really, really good. Magibility to 6, he's pretty good too. Like, don't get me wrong. I feel like the Rune Bearer also helps out, I wouldn't say helps out, Kalandra.
I think he makes her gross.
Yeah, I don't think it helps out. It just makes her more of a pain in the ass with Starcross 18 inches.
That's a gross Starcross.
Like, I've made a list with Kalandra, and it's a shooting list. And like you just keep Bullet Dodger up on Kalandra, and you have an 18-inch Starcross. Most guns don't shoot farther than 18, so like they're rolling three dice, dropping the highest to hit you. Like, sure, go ahead, try to kill me, but if you miss, you're going to die.
Well, while we're kind of moving through, and we've kind of talked about like the best kept secret controls and things that we think are super cool. I think another interesting question that we kind of need to attack, when we're talking about bringing a list pair, do you guys feel like trolls have to stay in the old school? Here's my troll beast brick and here's my combined arms list. Or do trolls like controls run like a double infantry based SKU and be fine? Like, how do you guys feel? Like, what do you feel is kind of like that optimal?
I'll just get
division
my
division of lists.
My Ruby opinion out of the way real quick. As an old school player, I've never played a beast brick with trolls, with the exception of Doom Shaper 2 with Rock. That was mostly because that was orgasmically ridiculous. But I've always done combined arms, troop lists. One was ranged, one was melee, and so I was like jamming you or blowing you off the table. And they were usually troop based, and then that's just how I play Kador too. And trolls are very good in that role, and so that's just what I'm going to do coming into this. But so you guys,
is one of those lists Borko's family reunion, or like that's pretty bricky and tanky.
Well, like currently, it's just I've got the Madrak 1 with 20 Creel Warriors, and then Champions and Sons of Bragg. So for a melee, just running up your butthole, and then Kalandra. Creel Company list. So I'm just going to compare, they're both troop lists, but one's heavy ranged and one's heavy melee. And I'm pretty comfortable in both of those. So,
yeah. Currently, this is what I'm debating. Like, I have my Madrak 1 list, my second pairing. I'm actually thinking about Cold Grandma in Storms of the North and just have, like, protect your army as you go up the table. I feel like it's definitely possible we could play two units list as long as, like, who's not playing champions? Like, champions are so good. If one list has champions, that's armor cracking. Like, I don't know. Champions, a PAL 13 can crack armor, not a problem. I've done it a few times. I've seen it done. Mm. So I think you definitely...
I'd say that's true to a point, but yeah.
What do you think, Chris?
I think the difference between what you can do and what is optimal is very different. I think you certainly could run to mixed arms or infantry based lists. But I think that where trolls are probably their best is with like beasts. So having a beast brick with an option to move to an infantry list is in my opinion the ideal pairing. But
well, that's the thing that makes it great is that we all have that different view of it, right? Well,
that's why I got my Ruby one out of the way first. I didn't want to use smarter guys to come in with some sort of
I wouldn't even say you're wrong there, though. Like, it opens up so many possibilities nowadays. Like, do you fall away from Band of Heroes and you bring your Kuro Company combined range and you bring a beast heavy list? Like, is that what we need to do? Like, there's just too many options to think about. And I think you could go. I'm hoping we can both all agree on. I don't think you can bring double beast lists to a tournament and do well.
I would agree with that.
Like, I think that's a tough option for us to do because I think they answer the same problems.
Yep, I completely agree.
Yeah, and I don't – even if they don't answer the same problems, because you can build beast lists that are going to mulch infantry beyond belief. Like, even if they don't, they still fall prey to the same answers, right?
And I feel like the steamroller – the scenario steamroller is where it leans towards you need to have a unit. And cool, you might have your stones or Dunia not – but those are pretty key pieces in Power Dunia now.
Good point. Good point. So I'm going to ask for the hot take here. And I know ranking systems are typically never accurate. I don't want to do them. But .. a lot of people have been asking, how do you guys feel where we are as a faction? And I don't want to get into a specific faction ranking because that's never going to yield fruit. But do you feel like trolls have gone from bottom third of the game into the middle third? Do you think we're in the top third? Do you think we're still kind of in that nebulous bottom area? Because I can tell you from my lens, I actually think Trolls is – I think we as a faction are in a position that I think we're actually – given Steamroller 2017, I think we're in a better position than Kador is. I think we answer more things, and I think our answers are more varied than what Kador can typically bring inside of their themeless construction. So I actually think like we're in an exceptionally good spot right now. I think it's just going to take us a while to suss out, you know, like what models that we're really wanting to play and how they're going to work for us and exactly what we're going to be playing with them. And I think once we start getting that stuff figured out, it's going to be really solid. But I'm curious to hear everybody's kind of opinion on that. And I'll start with Chris and just work my way back around.
Oh God, you want to start with me again? Okay. All right.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just the order in which I have everybody like located on my Facebook. So, like, sorry.
I'll be the guinea pig. I'm going to come out and be straightforward here. I think that the buff is great, and we are certainly the top of the bottom tier factions now. We are in a good spot. We have lots of options. We still have a long way to go to unlock all of those options to move kind of up the chain. But do we compete with a Signar? Do we compete with a Krix? Do we compete, in my opinion, with a Kador? I don't agree that we're at the same level as they are. But, you know, maybe that changes over time. We'll see.
I feel we are definitely middle of the pack towards the bottom. So basically the same place where Chris almost put us. I think Krix, we have answers if you're willing to bring the answers, which then would jeopardize your list pairing. For Kador, it's Kador, and I feel like Old Witch 2 is a big problem. I think Signar, with the recent Haley 2 nerfs, but with Gravediggers coming up, I feel like it all depends on how well the Gravediggers player has played with Haley 3, because that list is very hard to unlock. I feel like you need like 50 to 80 games on it to not clock yourself in a game. So I feel like we have trouble with Kador, somewhat trouble with Signar, and Krix. We can have trouble. It depends on list building. So I feel like we're in like the bottom of the middle tier. I don't know where it puts us as number-wise, but either way, I think we're still got ways to go with unlocking everything.
Gotcha. And I think also at some level, as we continue to mature with all of the changes, I think that perception may change. My perception may change. My perception may go down. I may just be looking at it because I'm such a troll fanatic. I may just be looking at this going, this is amazing. Best faction in the game, right? and that might not be the case. But to say like, well, right now, this is where we're at. And then I think as we unlock these things, I think that could change. No, I think that's probably a more accurate representation of how I feel about it right now. But again, I'm a troll fanatic, so I'm going to be all behind the Krill all the time.
I think we're all troll fanatics here. To go outside and say that we're not all in on the Krill would be certainly a little bit of a stretch.
I haven't left.
We stuck with it for the last 2 years was a testament to all of us on the call here. So.
Oh yeah, that's fair. And by saying that, I didn't mean to insinuate that you guys obviously.
Oh no, no,
no. It was more of just to let everyone else know that we stuck through the hard times.
Oh, except for
yeah, absolutely.
And honestly, through the hard times, I say that with a grain of salt because I feel like we still had play. I made them work, and Chris made them work. So I feel like if you just wanted to unlock it and you wanted to put the effort in to play something different outside of like the standard troll play, I feel like you could have unlocked Trolls and still played it well.
An aside on the sort of meta thing, Krix and Signar are sort of big problems for Kador right now, and I think Old Witch is a problem for Trolls, but I think you'll see Kador players are kind of torn. With the adding of Mercs, I think you're going to see a lot of Sorcha 1 coming back, in which case Trolls are kind of positioned in a hilarious advantage of Crossfire, where they'll just casually Rickroll Sorcha players. Honestly, Trolls have always been a bit of a problem for her. Like, you know, I couldn't play her into Borka. I couldn't play her into Gunbjorn. I couldn't play her into, there was a lot of weird stuff I couldn't play her into because they would randomly bring a Winter Troll or something that just completely exploded the matchup. I think as Kador players have to reach for Sorcha because she's actually kind of good now into both Haley 3 and Ghost Fleet. Or into whatever Krix is bringing, whatever they end up deciding. trolls, it kind of gives trolls this weird, I feel like they're Kador and trolls, especially as me who plays both, they're like battling brothers. They're like, they're kind of similar. They've always sort of similarly, I've always felt they've sort of perched in sort of a nebulous same area and had various stages of like a slight advantage, you know. But I think what makes trolls interesting is that they're good specific. They could be good against Kador coming out of this CID.
Like, you brought up a good point. You said you brought in like the winter troll. I just have a point to ask or a question to ask. Do you think we are required still to bring one Pacific model in every list? Like, are we required to bring a bouncer? Are we required to bring something like a mauler in every list still? Or can we like go outside of that now and bring a brawler instead?
Just as a Rube observer, I think the required models are not really that relevant anymore, especially now with kind of interesting like Borka 2 being able to change up your battle group, and then the North Force, whatever, the new tier list, changing some things up. I don't know. There's a lot of interesting, cool ways to get similar things, and you can change it up. And like, again, like the Night Troll, the Swamp Troll, there's so many trolls that just don't get any play because they don't bring any of those like special keys that unlock an answer for you. They're not, they might see a little bit more attention now that there's other ways to sort of answer those things.
Yeah. I can say, I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
No, you're first, Scott. Have at it.
I was just going to say, I know from my lens, a regular Kirill Stone, a brawler, is power strength 18. That's more than enough to bring down heavies with 4 fury and 2 initials. Like, Ruin does it all the time at power strength 18. Like, it's fine. Power strength 18 will get the job done. I don't know if you always have to have a bouncer. I don't think so. With things like Cold Grima and access to Valkyrie from minions, I don't know that you always have to have a bouncer. I don't know.
Sorry. I guess it's not the bouncer. I guess it's the Animus Earth Blessing.
Sure. I think that's really dependent on the caster you're taking and the role you need them to play in the game. I mean, like, obviously with Doomshaper 3, you don't need Earth's Blessing because it doesn't do anything for you because you have Implacability, which is just better Earth's Blessing. But I mean, like, Kalandra, yeah, I definitely would want, if I didn't have an Earthborn in the list, I would definitely want a bouncer because Kalandra is extremely vulnerable to knockdown assassinations. So I think it really just depends. But Chris, you had a thought on that.
I was just going to say, I still think that there are outside of the brawler change, I think there's still some models that you need to take in every kind of list. We talked about them earlier. You know, you look at the mauler specifically. Yeah, okay, the brawler can go pretty hard. Turn that off. Sorry, guys. The brawler can go pretty hard, but he's kind of the only option that can outside of our character beast. So unless if you're just going all in on, you know, just brawlers in your battle group, I would probably still reach for a mauler in, I'd say, 90% of my lists. Like, he's kind of the first beast I'd go for. And even if I'm just comparing a brawler versus a mauler in combat, I probably want the mauler over the brawler. You know, why are you calling me twice? You know, like multiple times. I would definitely want the mauler over the brawler in almost every situation. He's point cheaper, has more attacks, has the chain attack. Like, the only issue that he's going to have is a guy with, you know, shields or something. But how many times you see him things like, what is it, the Devastator? You know, like, how, with the crazy high arm, like, how many times have you seen stuff like that actually not be able to be cracked by a mauler?
Okay. The answer to that would be absolutely none of them.
Yeah.
I've never seen a mauler fail to kill what it was sent in to kill.
I have, but we don't go there.
Well, I mean, barring crazy, crazy dice or something like that, like, excuse me. So that's interesting. And you know what, though? You're right, because even when I take a brawler, I'm still reaching for a mauler. Like, that's, yeah, I typically am. Like, I, with Borka 2, it's pretty much brawler rock.
My Borka 2 doesn't even have a mauler. Yeah, it doesn't have a mauler.
Yeah, mine's the same way, but that's because I'm doing like a pseudo replacement of Rage with Fury if I need it. Or, I'm sorry, Rage with Primal if I need it. But that's an interesting point, though, because, like, even looking at, like, the list that I'm slotting a brawler into, there's still a lot of times where I'm like, nope, still want a mauler. Hmm. Yep, still want that mauler. because I still want to be able to hit something at, you know, power strength 21 or whatever the case might be. Like, I just want to get over that hump.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing better than power strength 18 is power strength 21, right? So.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. There's even like a part of me that's like, there's like this like special little sadistic part of me that's like, I know I don't have to take a mauler when you're running like double brawler Molg, but it is just so funny to watch the look on your opponent's face when you're like, here's my power strength 24 Molg or 23 Molg. And they're just like, what? And you're like, oh yeah. That's a thing. This is happening. Just close your eyes and let it happen, buddy. It's all right. Like, it's horrible, right? It's such a beating, especially with Fury 5 and 2. Oh, God, so good. So good. A couple other questions. And this one I thought was really interesting. While we're talking about, like, all the different models, especially the Warlocks, I should have put this a little bit earlier in the discussion, but I've heard a lot of people say that Trolls are a finesse-heavy faction. They require a little bit more focus on order of activation. Buffs, et cetera, to make the use of Trolls. What do you guys think is the lowest, with that in mind, what do you think is our easiest Warlock to pick up? And what do you think is the Warlock with the steepest learning curve? Because for me, when I look at it...
For the easiest, Warlock, we can all say the same guy. On 1, 2, 3, Mandrag 1.
No, is he the easiest to learn? I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I would agree. I think he is. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Easiest to learn?
Especially now. Yep. Especially now with the tactician. And it's the troll's biggest problem is all the medium bases and the garbage in the backfield. And he just solves all the stuff. And then you just get to play the game. And then, yeah, I actually think he's dangerous to start with because then he teaches you how not to play, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, so I believe walk that. Forward, like, throw axe, kill model, put up spell, rinse, repeat. That's the whole game, right? Like,
right.
So are we okay? Are we talking about just the model itself, or are we talking about the model in a list? Because if you put Mandrag 1 in a list, I feel like that list is hard to learn and master. If you put model by itself, what he has to do, yeah, he's pretty simple.
I think it's okay to look at the Warlocks in a vacuum and say, like, no, I think this guy's pretty easy to get the grasp of. When Nigel was making the joke about, like, tactician, I played a Risk 2 for a long time at the start of Mark 3, and I will never, ever unlearn the sloppy play that I learned with having huge bubbles of tactician all over the table. Like, because it will make you lazy. Like, it just will. I don't know about you guys, but it's pretty brutal.
Oh, yeah, I could definitely see that happening. I mean, even all the time, you're just like, I'm going to hug this. I go to play Doomy 3. I'm like, I'm going to put my Mauler and Molg right beside each other. And then I'm like, I'd really like to charge that model in front of me. But the Mauler is slightly on the other side of Molg, so that's not good.
I've done that so many times.
So I guess you're right. Like, the easiest caster by itself is probably Mandrag 1 because he's pretty simple. Just throw an axe. Rinse and repeat.
So who do you think has the highest... Who do you think is the most difficult to play, but will give you big dividends later? Like, who's that Warlock that you can invest time in that you're going to be like, all right, this is going to be a long road, and it's going to take a while to learn him. But once I learn him or her, it's on. So who do you think that's going to be? I'm going to spoil mine right now. I'm going to spoil mine right now. I'm going to say it's going to be Grim 2. I think Grim 2 is a Warlock that rewards very good play and very good positioning. I think he's a Warlock that you have a lot, and I mean a lot of options every game. But he's also a Warlock that can die very easily. He struggles to get a lot of meaningful work done. He still does get work done, but he'll struggle to get a lot of meaningful work done by himself. And being able to apply some of his best spells always involve putting him at some element of risk. And so I think because of those things, Grim 2 is extremely fun and very rewarding to play. And when you get the hang of him, you'll do things that you never thought you could do in a game. But until you get the hang of that, you're going to do stupid stuff like I do. And you're going to walk up to apply mortality and then get assassinated the next turn. Like, because I can't count how many times I've seen that happen. I can't count how many times I've seen other people that happen to other people. And I'm just watching from the side of the game, and I'm just like, I'm holding my hand over my mouth because I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it, Johnny. Don't. Your life's not worth it. You know, and he does it anyway. And I'm like, oh, I know how this is going to end. And I see it happen all the time. Chris, who's your high skill cap?
I would certainly agree and say, and Madarak 2 or Grim 2 is definitely way, way up there. He is just bonkers of a toolkit. There is so much going on there and so much that can reward you, but so much that, like your point, can also just end the game for you for so many ways. But he actually started the game with Grim 2, and that was not a good decision. Any new player out there, he looks awesome, but don't start the game with him. Beyond that, I mean, I think like any of those kind of assassination, kind of finesse casters like Grim 1, Jarl, like those guys are all up there in terms of skill required and placement knowledge required to play the game. So I would give those two an honorable mention to Grim 2.
What about you, John?
Well, my first instinct was going to say Jarl. I don't have near enough games with him. I want more. I took him to my last Steam Roller early September. Was my last Steam Roller. It's been a while. I just didn't play because I knew the CID was coming out and just didn't want to play at the time. So I took Jarl and Gristle 2, two casters no one figures trolls should have anything to do with. And Jarl is really hard. Like, when do you apply Magic Bullet? When do you put Quick on yourself? Like, when do you feat? And then his feat is D3 plus 3, so it's like a random cloud wall you get. He can give you a lot, especially now in Storm of the North. I feel like he can do something. And I feel like you probably won't see him, but if someone does bring him, they'll know what they're doing. Grim 1 is the caster I would go towards. My first caster I ever started playing was Grim 1. I just got him nicely painted by my friend. It's a beautiful model. I kind of want to put him on the table. And he can play in so many different ways. Power of Dunia, Kuro Company. You can put him, I don't know if you can put him in Band of Heroes. Never even checked that before. But Storm of the North. Like, there's so many different ways Grim 1 can play. And he wants to be up there. He wants to shoot something. He wants to be up there. And that gives you a chance of getting shot off the table or killed. But, and also, I'll put Madarak 3 up there. If anyone unlocks Madarak 3, I think Madarak 3 is going to be a beast on the table. So those are my three I would put up there.
Yeah, I can't say I disagree with Grim 1. He suffers from a lot of the same things that Grim 2 suffers from, which is like, I want to get up there. And, you know, kind of like what Nigel was saying earlier, though, he's one of those warcasters that, or warlocks, rather, that you kind of look at him and you're like, oh, great, sweet, they fixed his feet. You know, now his feet's, you know, really, really strong again. And then you look at the Rune Bearer and you're like, wait a minute. Wait, I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, I get it. And so, like, but the positioning and the way you have to play him is very technical. Because even with an extra 2 inches on that, you come up in the wrong spot, you're dead.
He's tanky, though. Like, he's a 16-15 caster, so 16-17. And, like, he's tanky, but, like, there's a lot of ways to get around that. Like, defense is something you can be knocked down with, and that's where you need to think about your list making and what you go from there.
Yep, I agree. Wow. So, at this point, forgive the hard transition, but at this point, we've pretty much knocked on all of the discussion points that we kind of summed up from the Facebook group chat or the Facebook posting. So, I guess the last thing I really want to ask about before we see if we have time to hit a lightning round. What do you want to see out of Trolls going forward? Like, what are the kind of releases? What are just some things that you feel like you want to see Trolls bring to the table coming forward? I know for myself, I would love to see, I think Sons of the North is really good. I would love to see them kind of explore the whole Highwaymen, Thornwood Bandits kind of thing. I think that's like a really cool motif. More importantly, though, I would love to see some more intermediary ranged options. Like, I would like to see more units that are kind of designed to play in the midfield. We have scouts that do that job.
Scattergunners?
Scouts are, like scattergunners, absolutely. So I think, like, I'd like to see, like, maybe a little bit more, like, exploration with, excuse me, with units that have, like, Swift Hunter, Run and Gun, or stuff like that. Like, I think that stuff might, like, beasts. I think that might be fun. Because Highwaymen do that right now, and Highwaymen are super fun to play. They're
technical too.
They are very technical. If you goof up with them, you'll get them all killed.
Yeah.
You absolutely will. Chris, what do you think? What do you want to see coming out of Trolls moving forward?
I mean, if we're wish listing here, sure. I think probably what I would like to see or progression of is like the elemental beasts. I really love, like, the Pyre Troll was the first beast I painted when I got into the faction. The Swamp Troll, like the Storm Troll, they're all just so cool. I'd really like to see them make the next step with those. Maybe make some like heavies that are elemental. Maybe like, you know, I think that would be really neat to see. And I'm sure that there's probably some fluff reason why it doesn't exist, but you know, if they could get on that, that would be pretty awesome, I think.
Like a heavy Fire Troll kind of thing?
For Horde 2.
Yeah. Character beast. There you go. Yeah, like a heavy pyre or a heavy swamp troll, a heavy slag troll, you know, just I think that the modeling that you could do on something like that would be really neat to see.
Well, look at Dozer and Smig. Beautiful model. Do you see him outside of Gunny?
No, unfortunately not. They do need I do wish they would make him available to Krill Company. It's kind of silly that he's not.
I agree. He's a heavy warpiece that shoots. Mog's in PLD now, so Rock's in Storm of the North, so that's something we might see.
Let's be fair, though. I mean, even if he was in Creole Company, you think you'd take him?
Yeah, Gunny.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're going to take him with him anyway.
Or Grim One.
Sure. I don't think without Gunbjorn, there's a caster in the game that it's not better to just take another bomber. But
another bomber, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you're getting more out of Arcing Fire than you would out of just a second shot.
No. Agreed. I would like to see, like, expand on the pigs. Pigs are pretty sweet.
They are sweet.
Like, some of the sweet-looking units and models, they don't get fueled much. So they come up, like, some kind of theme around pigs that require you to take, like, 20 points of pigs, and you get, I don't know, whatever. I feel like they could do something, and I feel like you'll see a lot of small base troll armies, which would be kind of different and kind of fun to play around with. Maybe to go around with your run and gun type scenario you wanted. But
oh yeah, for sure.
Speaking of like fire beasts, like I said it, Horgul 2 character beast. I said it when Horgul 2 came out. They should have brought a character beast with them. I feel like he could have been a lot better on the table.
Well, I think kind of to tag on to that, I really kind of hope we see some more troll character beasts come out. Like, I really want to see Braun and Jor come out. Mm. Why we don't have Braun and Jor yet just kind of blows my brain open a little bit. But for the listeners who don't know, Braun and Jor are a character Axer and a character Impaler that always follow Madrak around. Yeah. Like, those are Madrak's lights. And that's Braun and Jor. I would love to see Braun and Jor brought into the game. I would love to see I would love to see Ragnar get a character Earthborn, because that just feels like that fits Ragnar, right? Like a character Earthborn, that'd be super sweet. So there's a couple things that I'm really excited about. Maybe you can tinker with him somehow and give him impervious flesh. I don't think that is ever going to happen, and it might be too good, but it would be amazing. I guess the last thing I want to say before we move into the lightning round, assuming we have time. Do we have time for a quick lightning round, Nigel?
Sure.
Sweet. So if there's anything that you – we'll start with Chris, work our way around, of course. If there's anything that you want to say to troll players that are listening just about the faction, your words of advice or your comments to them, it doesn't have to be about list design like we did earlier. It doesn't just – if there's anything you want to tell the community at large about Trolls as a faction, I'm giving you the open mic to do so to speak. Not that you guys need it. You obviously don't. But I know for myself, if I was going to tell anybody to play Trolls, I would tell them that the point of the game, the objective of the game is to win. The point of the game is to have fun. Play what you have fun with. And if you got into Trolls for power level and you don't like anything else about the faction, then I encourage you to really analyze why you're playing Trolls right now. But if you got into Trolls because you just love Trolls and you love Direct Face and you love Huge Beasts and you love stupid binge drinking idiot trolls walking around, like, you know, doing incredibly stupid stuff, like, that's why you want to play Trolls. And like, that's what makes Trolls awesome. And you should definitely be a part of that. So if you're listening and you're thinking about jumping back into Trolls, I encourage you to do it. For the people that have already been there, now's the time to explore, guys. Like, we have a blank canvas in front of us. Nigel's talking about, like, all these crazy lists with these, you know, like, I'm going to play, like, I'm thinking about playing Doomshaper out of Power of Dunia. And the minute you say that to someone, like, their head explodes because it's just not possible. But, you know, here we are. We're looking at a blank canvas, and Nigel's like, well, why not? Like, this could be really cool. This could be something really neat. And I think it's – I think now more than ever is our time to explore. And now more than ever is our time to just kind of throw caution to the wind and just put it out there. Put it out there. Put the lists on the table and play them. Don't be afraid of losing. Because don't worry about it. We're trolls. We'll regenerate anyway. It's fine. We'll come back. So Chris, what would you tell the troll community or anybody looking to play trolls?
That is, I'll echo your statement first and just say that is a fantastic point. For the next few months, like, every troll player out there, whether you're coming back to the faction or you've stuck with it and you've gone through the tough times, you know, or you're new to the game, just, it's going to be such a fun time. There's so much to explore. There's so much to learn. There's so much to do. Just enjoy the next little while. Like, there's going to be another time that's going to come in a few years, I'm sure, or maybe a few months. Who knows when trolls are, you know, on the bottom and, you know, everyone's down on us again. But while we're up and while we have all this excitement, like let's hold on to this and let's use it and let's have just a boatload of fun with all of the new stuff that's here, because, you know, that's what this should all be about. Your point, this game is for fun, right? So while some of us try to play it more competitively than others, it's still, at the end of the day, competitive or not, it's just for fun. So enjoy yourselves and don't be afraid of what anyone else is gonna say with whatever you bring out to have fun with.
For myself, it's basically, this game's always been about fun. That's one thing that you guys need coming to the faction. It's a fun faction. Like, look at the models. We're trolls. Some of the models look dopey. Some of the models look amazing. If you're a hobbyist, trolls are pretty sweet to paint. Like, you can get some pretty cool looking patterns and tartars and all that stuff on trolls. And
oh, I'm sorry. Continue on, but I have a quick question after this, and I'm going to lightning round it. So go ahead.
Sweet. Okay. If you like painting, trolls are pretty good hobbyists. There's a lot to paint. They're big, they're small, they're medium bases. Like, you have huge base models are amazing. The Sea King was so much fun for me to paint. That's basically it. Like, just have fun. Come to the faction and have fun.
So Nigel, as a new player, what would you say as someone coming back to the troll faction?
Just real quick, repeat.
So if you were just going to make a generic statement to the Troll Blood community, just about coming to trolls, playing trolls, looking at trolls, whatever. What would your generic statement be to the Troll Blood community?
You guys completely, like, just the fact that it's so wide open. I mean, honestly, there's not much. It's so wide open. So yeah, there's no wrong or right currently. Listen to people who play if you need, like, an inside track, if you need a little help. But for the most part, you can't go too far wrong. And then the models are gorgeous, so obviously aesthetically you chose the correct faction, and I think that's basically, you know, what you guys previously said about, you know, it's like a new player coming in is about the smallest gap between the good players and the new players as it's ever going to be in this, you know, in the current day and age, because it's also, like, wacky right now. It would be like if there was some sort of, like, World of Warcraft expansion or some sort of MMO expansion, and you wanted to, like, start your new account at a situation where it was like you were the least penalized for coming in new. You'd choose trolls. Like, that would be the least. There's a lot of learning curve. You know, you're not so far behind on the learning curve as even the good players. There's still so much to.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, because I think even, like, I compare my list with. Chris and John's and compare notes or whatever the case may be. It seems like we're all kind of drawing from the same experiences, but we're kind of going in divergent paths as to how to solve that. And, you know, with good communication and a good bond of kith and creel in the community, we can take advantage of that. We can learn from each other and still be willing to try new things and to discover new things. So that's a super good point, Nigel. It's a really
I just
point.
Repeated what you guys said. Was that a
I mean, I took like.
All right, all right, all right. Enough of this. Yeah, I've inflated enough. So,
Oh, whatever. Listen to you. No, it's a, no. The point about
I say screw that. There's no advice. Just get in the dojo. Like, I mean, literally, as you guys are talking, I'm like, nope, that's a good point. I can't improve on it. So then I started like immediately got my war room out and was like, ugh, gotta get in the dojo. Like I was immediately immediately taking your advice and like I've got to make up a list. One of the things you said, you guys said before Scott asked the question was that Rock. You know, you guys are talking about character beasts not being allowed. You know, like. That you were lamenting that Dozer and Zmig weren't allowed in certain tier lists. And then I can't remember who pointed out that Rock was allowed in the Northkin Force, which immediately caused my head to explode. So as soon as that was said, my brain like lit up and I had to like get War Room out. I was like, oh my God. Cause like my dream, my living the dream is the Doom Shaper 2 with Rock. And obviously being able to do it in tier, would be bananas. So yeah. I immediately had to make a Doom Shaper 2 Storm of the North list. And I'm quite excited. Like, I'm 100% playing this, basically. The next time I throw Miles on the table, it's this list. Oh, God. Anyways, thanks, hey, guys.
Hey, Nigel. You want to know
you got to have both.
About that list?
What's that?
You want to know something really crazy about that list? Hmm. If you put Wild Aggression on Rock in
free.
Storm of the North,
yeah, it's free upkeep.
You get to upkeep that for free.
No, yeah, trust me. My head's been... The pleasure centers in my brain have been exploding. Like,
Chris, I'm sorry I cut you off. I didn't mean to, bud.
Oh, good, man. I was just going to say, you gotta make sure you have Rock and Mulg in that list so you can have, like, the tag team champions of the world, just, like, wreck and phase.
Yeah, it's just those two and an Axer, and then I'm just GTG.
Amazing. All right, so we got to the discussion points. Lightning round. So, Jeff Pagula writes, what model should our commander of Company of Iron Games be so that we can win PP's contest and get the resculpt? One legal answer and one illegal, warlock or large base per respondent. So who should our Company of Iron commander be? I think if you're choosing anybody but Volka, I think you're doing it wrong. Go.
Volka was my first answer.
Hang on a second. Is there some contest where we're getting a resculpt? I heard resculpt in there somewhere. Because if there's a resculpt, let's get the fell caller up in there. Because that model
I didn't know there was a resculpt contest. Is there?
Yeah. So PP's they started this contest where like if you make like the sweetest Band of Heroes or Company of Iron, and then like the person who comes up with like the sweetest idea and fluff and all this other stuff, they'll do a resculpt of your commander. So if you chose a fell collar, they would do a resculpt of a fell collar. Chris has a really good point. It may be worth it just to choose fell collar.
Ritual player out there should just start picking fell collars up, resculpt it up.
Oh, hot take. Oh, yeah. Company of Iron Commander is fell collars. but we just got like, have you seen the whelp holding the sword?
I have it. It's amazing.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
it's super cool.
Yeah. So cool looking. All right, Drake Scott writes, Troll Bouncers, Relics of Mark II, or Underused Solid Choice for Holding Zones? Go.
Underused Solid Choice for Holding Zones.
Chris?
Yeah, I think we talked about them enough tonight. They are solid. Keep them in.
Mm-hmm. Yep, solid. Same here. Let's see. Favorite Tartan color scheme? Go.
Screw Tartan. too hard to paint. My guys are just red.
I can tell you right now, I have never painted one. I always got my commission painted. So, yeah, too hard.
mine are solid red, but if I had to pick one, I really like green and yellow.
I currently have purple.
Ooh, I bet that looks really cool. How much Madrak 1 is too much?
I'm at about 60 games, so not enough.
Not enough. Yeah, same here. Not enough. Nigel?
Yeah, until he's a meme at the end of War Machine weekend next year, not enough.
Perfect. Nailed it. This one's pretty good. List a single rule to fix the Impaler. Go.
Reload 1.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a solid one. I would just go Rate of Fire 2.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. Powerful shot for me.
Oh, yeah. That's legit.
And then we can add, like, Rate of Fire 1 or 2 onto him, too. That way we could just make him, like, a Troll Charger.
Reload Powerful Shot. Just make him a super, badass Charger.
Yeah, just make him a badass Charger. Okay, Ragnor, good into Signar?
Heck yeah.
All right. Yep, I agree. I think there's actually a lot of unexplored potential with him into Signar, especially with Haley 3. I'm really curious about that. Trolls in Company of Iron, good, bad, or the guy with the gun? I'm going to say the guy with the gun.
Haven't really dojo enough, but I'm pretty sure they're good.
Only Company of Iron game I played, I got whooped. But the trolls seem to do okay. So Tough is pretty big in that game.
Tough is ridiculous in that game. I agree. All right. John Lopilato? I'm sorry if I butchered your name, buddy. Is it too risky to play Krill Company in your list pair given how much anti-shooting tech there is in the game now?
No.
Yeah, I agree. No. We already said go ahead, go out there and experiment. There's nothing too risky.
Yep, I agree.
That's what you have a second list for.
Peter Lippart, good old Pete, writes in, Tankreel moves that drive Nigel wild. Nigel, there's yours.
That's too many. That's too long of an answer. I will replace it with my own speed round question for John and Chris. A couple podcasts ago, I was talking to Keith about I have a love of Borka 1, personally. And then I got back into the faction, basically to play Borka 1. And then I had these visions of, like, the Hooch Holler when that eventually comes out, making my list, like, Borka 1 times 9/11. Keith brought up an interesting point. Not interesting for me, but at least interesting, I guess, for people who are into this type of opinion, that he doesn't do anything that Madrak can't just do better, and that there's no point. He doesn't have a place in existence anymore as a, like, serious consideration, and I don't know if I had agreed. I universally disagree, because that's just me, but I didn't know your guys' take. And then I also wondered if you think that Kolgrimma kind of craps on Jarl in a similar fashion.
Okay, so I'll answer the second part, Kolgrimma and Jarl. I disagree there. Jarl brings a much more of a range game than Kolgrimma. You know, you can play Kolgrimma in the range, which, don't get me wrong, I have a list made for it, but I just think Jarl has a way better package for range game. For the first answer, Borka 1 still has spells which are amazing. It's like Arcane Ward, like your champs are safe all game long. Windwall, he's safe all game long. His feat extends it. Madrak 1 has no way to protect his champs from spells. Doesn't extend the threat ranges of his champs and has no way of protecting himself from shooting unless you have shield guards. So I feel like I have to disagree. I feel like Borka 1 can still be played.
Yeah, I got to go with the opposite. I think Madrak 1 dumps all over Borka. Is just better in every aspect. He doesn't bring the threat extension, but, you know, when everything is a higher def, he doesn't need to. And, you know, he doesn't bring the no shooting against him, but when he can hide in the middle of his entire army and then move out of it without any issues.
And he himself is +2 defense, which isn't nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I would play Madrak 1 over Borka 100% of the time.
I would play
Kolgrimma versus Jarl. Sorry?
I would play Madrak 1 over Borka, but I feel like Borka is not out of the question. I feel like there is something to do there, and you can make it work.
Yeah, his contention isn't a matter of I think Keith would probably agree that you could make him work, but there's no point in bothering when you could make Madrak work easier.
We could technically go off that question and be like, there's no point playing a few casters because there's casters that are better, but like,
yeah, I just didn't know if you guys felt like that was a bad thing, or, you know, like, did you feel when Madrak 1 came out of CID, you're like, oh, well, I guess I'll just retire Borka. And then also with Kolgrimma, granted, she doesn't have, like, Quicken or some of the other stuff that,
Jarl has.
Jarl has. The general thing, like, the best play that I've seen with Jarl is the whatever the shot bounces, magic bullets. The magic bullets, taking out key models every turn, and then his cloud delivery method of just delivering, you know, like, sometimes I've seen people take two units of Tuffalos, or, you know, champions and Tuffalos, or he's had some pretty creative, like, one turn just full on delivery. But Kolgrimma can kind of do just that aspect with just different things going on, which might chase him off. You know, it's sort of, you're asking yourself, like, I don't know if I need to really do stupid human tricks polishing him and making him interesting when I could take Kolgrimma and be more conventionally powerful with a similar base mechanic.
So, Chris, what was your thought on Kolgrimma and Jarl?
I don't know. I feel the same way. I feel Jarl can bring a lot more of that ranged presence. But yeah, if you're trying to play a conventional game, if you're trying to just stick with the package that you know is going to work for you every turn, like if the Cloud Wall is what you really want, obviously Cole Grimma is the option to go for. But
okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, thanks. I was like, for me, sentimentally, I want to keep kind of like, I like the old guys, so I'm just going to keep playing the old guys. But if we, like, I guess...
Metric 1 is an old guy.
Yeah, no, true, actually. He's like an old new guy. He's like, he's Jesus.
He's like that crazy uncle that leaves for like 6 years, and then when he comes back, he's like, when he leaves, he has like the big beard, and he's like all like scruffy, and then when he comes back, he's dressed in like an Armani suit, and you're like, what the hell happened?
No, he's like Jesus coming back out of the cave, and everybody's like, damn, Jesus!
Okay.
All right, Nigel, what's the ugliest troll model?
I'd have to think about it. I'll take a pass.
John?
Oh, man, the ugliest
troll model.
The Kithgar?
The Kithgar's
awesome.
I was going to say Winter Troll, maybe. He's pretty ridiculous.
I'm going maybe back to Spellcaller.
Maybe the Slag. It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Slag's gross.
Spellcaller's
Chris,
pretty bad.
Chris, you're saying Spellcaller?
That's my option, yeah.
I would say Sons of Brag.
Ooh, that's a pretty good one, too. Yeah. That's like three Spellcallers.
Yeah, that's like three Spellcallers times 9/11. Like, they're so bad looking. They've been resculpting a lot of the three-man units lately. I really hope they resculpt the Sons of Brag sometime soon. Okay, this is actually interesting. It'll probably be a little bit more than a lightning round question, but I think it's a cool question. What painting tips do you guys have for newbies? Because obviously... You play in the Ontario Team Championship, in Southern Ontario Open, Adapticon. Got to have your stuff painted. There's no exceptions. You got to have your stuff painted. What are some painting tips for a newbie to help them get through, like, troll units and stuff? What do you guys do to keep yourselves going?
Oh, man, I suck at painting. I've gotten better over the past 2 years, but I really do. When I first started, I painted with colors. Well, actually, when I first started, I painted with dollar store acrylic colors, just like, because that's all I knew. Then I got into like the good paints. Paint the colors you like. Honestly, my trolls are orange. They're green trolls or blue trolls with orange and like purple highlights. Like, honestly, I didn't care. That's what I like. They look good on the table. Don't get me wrong, I've got some commissioned champions and Mastery and other things that I want to commission, but I just paint and have some fun. Line painting's boring, so if you want to paint one model at a time, go for it. Like, just enjoy it.
What about you, Chris?
I'd say use the community to your advantage. There's so many resources out there, YouTube videos, Facebook pages, like so much you can learn from, look at, and just apply to your own models, especially as a new painter. Don't go crazy and be like, I'm going to go two-brush blend everything, but like check out like the Privateer Press videos, like the ones with Dallas, like how to dry brush, how to base coat. Like, those are such great resources to try to start painting with. It's unbelievable that they're out there and that they're free.
Both of you, great points. I would offer, in addition to those, paint with friends. Even if you can't get together, I know like leading up to War Machine weekend, you know, for several nights in a row, Nigel, Keith and I were on a Skype chat and we were just talking back and forth as we were painting. And we'd take pictures of stuff and send it to each other to be like, oh, what do you think of this? You know, get other people involved with you and paint. Because if you can get other people involved with you in the painting process, it'll make it a lot more bearable, especially when you're chogging through a 15-man max unit of Creel Warriors or whatever the case may be. Like, it's going to make it a lot easier on you.
Just real quick, just literally paint by numbers, base coat all your models in cleaner, brighter colors, do corresponding just basic ink washes with slightly watered down, you know, like GW inks of the corresponding color, and then manually apply a highlight. I'm saying that in those three steps, your models will look fantastic, probably above average tabletop quality. And when I say manually apply a highlight, I mean like a topographical map. So you've painted the entire model, their base colors. Now paint like 60% of that model the highlight color after you've washed it. And the reason is washes tend to make your model look dirty. The highlight comes back and makes it look clean. The biggest mistake I see with new guys is they do some sort of new level technique and they destroy, they like They'll take their model, base coat it, drown it in ink, and then they'll dry brush the crap out of it. And then it just looks, there's two different techniques being applied that make it look dirty and chalky. And so then they end up hitting their models or whatever. And then actually any kind of paint, honestly, even that is paint, getting just paint on models, even if it's not an efficient or great technique, is still better than nothing. So I shouldn't say that. But if you want your models to look really good and clean and really easy and fast, just base coat. One wash with like watered down wash of GW color, like GW glazes, and then a manually applied highlight. Again, just go back and then re-base coat only 60% of the model, and boom. And then, yeah, I'll wrap my, that's it.
All right. Tim Bakey writes in, who is the coolest fell caller? Chris Dancox, I'll let you take this one.
God, I don't know. I don't know enough about the class to say anything.
Gristle. Fair enough. John,
Gristle,
what's
two.
The answer? Gristle 2. I think it's Tor. Let's see. Oh, also, got another question from another listener. Let me pull that up real quick. He's a super nice guy I met over War Machine Weekend. And let me grab him here. So Corey writes in for Chris. Are you ready for games at Blood and Gears? I certainly am. So, Chris Dancox, are you ready for your games of Blood and Gears?
I am certainly ready. If they're games against Corey, I have to be extra ready because he typically whoops me. So that'll be fun.
He's a super cool dude, and he's an extremely good player. Yeah. I met him at War Machine Weekend this year. Super great guy. And then I've got one more lightning round question. It's from Brent Simon. Who's the most overrated troll warlock? I'm going to say for me, it's Doomshaper 3, but I'll probably get lynched for saying that. So go ahead, guys.
I'm going to stick with my same old that I said on the last cast I was at. Doomshaper 2 is overrated.
Oh,
nice. So two for Doomy 2.
Man. Oh, wait, I thought you said Doomshaper 3.
Yeah. Oh, no. I meant Doomshaper 2. I'm sorry. If I said Doomy 3, that is not what I intended to convey.
Overrated. I want to go with Madrak 2.
Madrak 2? All right. Yeah. Nigel?
I would agree with Madrak 2.
Madrak 2? Okay. All right, guys. That's the lightning round. I hope the listeners truly enjoy this. I think we covered a pretty good range of topics. What do you guys think?
I think we talked quite a bit of it. We could probably go another 2 hours, but, it's 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Everybody's got to get
the fact sleep. You're not already asleep is impressive me, John. Like, there's no snoring over the line here. We're all good. Yeah.
I work nights, so I'm kind of used to being up.
Fair.
But it's the whole child getting up at 6. It's going.
Well, I tell you what, if it's we'll get this out there to the public, and if there's a big enough cry that people just have to know, they have to get more of their daily dose of John and Chris, then I'll talk to Nigel and maybe we can set something up in the future if it's needed. So I certainly appreciate you guys taking time out of your lives to join me and have this troll episode. I think it was pretty successful. You guys good with it?
Yes.
I think it's great. We'll see what the outcome is like.
Yeah. If anyone has any questions, please feel free to, shoot us messages. I'm always answering people's questions or dojoing with people. Thanks for inviting me. It was an honor, honestly.
Well, thank you. Yeah. You wrote your own. You and Chris wrote your own tickets, guys. So
thanks. I gotta say thanks as well. Like it's awesome that you guys thought of us. So if you ever need us again in the future, just let me know.
Awesome. Thank you guys very much. So thank you for tuning in to a special episode of News on Minis, the Trollisode. Dun dun dun. We need like really good bumper music for this. But thank you guys very much for tuning in to the Trollisode. This has been Scott Seabass. You guys want to sign off?
Nigel.
I wasn't sure what was going on. Yes, John Edwards.
Have a good night, guys. Chris Dancox here signing out.
Thank you very much, guys. Nigel, I say we call that a wrap, buddy.
Yeah, let's do it.
different.
So true, especially now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the worst thing you can do is to get a troll player to talk about the fluff of his faction, because we're all so tied into it that we're just like, oh, yeah. And then there was this time when Rock and Borka, and they drank each other into oblivion, and that's how they became buds. Like, it's ridiculous. We'll just go on and on. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, all my games are at least 2 hours, an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, easy for me. Easy
I don't know. For me. I had this Gristle 2 list, so before the CID drop, I was ending games at bottom of two and top of two all the time.
Was that the one Jason McClane was telling me about?
I do love. I got to take a point to mention this list. I watched the Arcane Assist with it on, and I love how you're like, we've been dojoing this list for so long. And I'm like, I open up the video. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the list I played at Adepticon. Minus like three models.
Yeah, didn't you pair that with your Ragnar list at Adepticon?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, because your Ragnar list was like... Because everybody was like, troll lights are terrible, and you show up with like night trolls, and you're like, these things are legit. People are
ended round four with a night troll to Kaya's face. It was epic.
Yeah, that you actually did that to a good buddy of mine named Chris Collins.
Yeah, Chris Collins, great guy.
Oh, he's an amazing guy. All right,
yeah, my Gristle 2 is so much fun.
I'm pulling up a couple more things that I have just to.
I'm kind of excited about this night troll tech. I might have to inquire some more.
Spam night trolls.
Oh my god, it sounds amazing. That's like with Madrak 1. I'm like, I'm gonna spam night trolls with Madrak 1. But I don't know what the Gristle tech or whatever is about, but
no, it's two bombers and a mountain king and Gristle Ghoul's face.
Hmm. Yeah, it's
I threat 21 inches on the board, so you move up, I'm killing your caster. I killed Karchev with Campin 4 before. That top of two.
I think there was a troll player named Ed that's in the Kansas City area, and he dubbed the name of that list Gristle's Missiles. And it was adequately spoken. Like it's pretty good.
I caught so many players off guard. Like I won a tournament. I won all five rounds just playing Gristle 2.
Alright. I'm grabbing the lightning round thread. There it is. Alright, sweet. Alright. Okay. Well, looks like we're good to go. Do you guys need to do anything else before we get started?
No, I'm good.
All right. All set. Nigel, you recording?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.